Lincoln Lions in the Eastern Conference Bowl. Today is Monday, July 12th, 2021. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern until midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org, click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Or if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to support our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week in our scripture reading. We're in the Gospel of John, and we read chapter 15 last week, so we'll be reading chapter 16, read by Alexander Scorby. So, John, chapter 16, by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, Whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Okay, I don't have anything particular to share tonight, so we'll take some questions shortly. First, Jan, do we have any announcements, and do we have any questions? And I see Gerard, you here?
We do have questions, John.
Okay, we'll take some questions.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, in a short while, I'll pass things over to you, but I'm going to take some questions for a while, and we'll see if Brent is here. So maybe in the next half hour or so, I'm going to pass it to you, all right?
All right. Did you say Brent is here?
I don't know. We'll take a look to see if he's here.
Okay.
But let's go on with the questions while someone looks for Brent to see if he's here tonight.
It's a multi-phase, and really you should have the documents that are being referenced. The question piggybacks off a question that was submitted earlier on June 10th. The defendant's action at law is removal for cause package, and he also sent the plaintiff's opposition to defendant's attempt to remove this matter to a U.S. District Court. And the last one is the exhibit is the U.S. District Court in Boston ruling that this person only had 30 days to remove the case to a federal court per 28 U.S.C. subsection 1446b1 and remanded it back to the state Supreme Court. Now, the federal court did not deal with the due process violation at all. Do you have any options here to do anything else, or am I left at the mercy of the state Supreme Court to roll over me with their unconstitutional non-judicial foreclosure law?
Well, that's a good question. You know, you could try to push it back up to the Supreme Court. The key thing here is you're not really picking up on the case itself. Okay, you're dealing with a brand new case, which is a violation of due process, and I think you got to make that clearer to the court to see if that puts them into a position where they feel they have to at least give you a hearing. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, when we come into the court, it doesn't matter what we do, what we say. They just don't want to hear us, and they'll do everything they can to shut us down. If the other side, by lawyer, comes into the court, whether they move it into the federal court, whether they default it or not, they always have the hearings, and they bring the hearings up, and you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, if it's a default that's going to injure, you know, one of the, corporation or the government itself or so on and so forth, then they'll find a way to bring these people back into the court, and they'll file the papers, and they'll move towards Rule 12 and have you thrown out for various reasons. Now, to be thrown out of a federal court, if you moved it into federal court, it should be kind of difficult for them to do that, because, again, you're not going in there, and this is the point you have to make on your case. You're not in there to bring the case into the court, which is probably, I think it's a mortgage case, isn't it, Jan, or we don't know? Jan, do we know if it's a mortgage case or anything, or what kind of case it is?
Foreclosure, I think it was.
Foreclosure. Okay. So you're not in there for the case itself, per se. You're in there for a whole different purpose. You're in there because of a violation of a right. and your right of due process. And so, again, I would couch that a little differently. Now, the question is there, you know, I'm presuming they moved it into federal court. That's my presumption. They were in state court or county court or some court, and then they moved it into federal court. That is the case, correct? Or did they move it up into the state Supreme Court?
He was trying to move it to federal court, and they said he had to have done that within 30 days.
Now, the question is, does he say who tells them that? Who tells him that?
Well, that was the ruling he got back from the court.
The federal court. I presume he got back from the federal court that statement.
No, it does not say which one sent
it. Yeah, it probably was the federal court, but I mean, who knows? It could be the state, you know, it could be someone, you know, acting outside of the state court and filing with the federal court to make, I don't think that's probable, but...
Yeah. It was the federal court, John, that ruled that he only had 30 days to remove the case.
Okay, but he's removing it for cause, and he can make the point that I just discovered that I'm in jurisdictions unknown, maybe. I'm not sure exactly what positions he had made in the court and when he had made it. But even with that, it shouldn't apply. For every injury, and here's a point you need to make, and this is a maxim of law, under the common law, which they've ignored, of course, because they've abrogated the common law, but they do try to hide the fact that they've abrogated the common law. They do try to make people believe and think that they're getting common law and they're going to get their rights, but they violate them all day long and you don't get the common law. But there is a principle: for every injury, there must be a remedy, number one. Also, and from their own perspective and their own rules and different things that they go by, because you are not a lawyer, you have to be given a little bit more latitude. So that's another point you could make. Also, the fact that you were trying to raise it in the court, and again, I don't know how far they raised it into the court, but the fact that that they didn't have jurisdictions, they were in jurisdictions unknown. And I presume at that point or some point a judge made a ruling and then the 30-day expired. What I would do, you can try, is sue the judge, sue the court, sue all the individuals in the court, open up a federal case yourself and take them in that way. You're probably not going to get anywhere, but who knows, you might find a judge that, possibly might do the right thing. It's a pretty rarity, but it is possible. The other thing you could do is you could attach your case to ours, and when we get to the other side is when we're going to deal with these problems. Everybody who has attached their case to our case, we assume the judiciary and ultimately the United States Supreme Court, and we will be doing something as soon as things break, so to speak. We're going to be moving into the federal, well, we're already in the federal court, but we're going to be filing hardcore pages of papers into the court. Of course, I'm still working on that, and I'm trying to get that done before things happen. And then our anticipation is eventually we will get common law courts, because if we're going to be reestablished back under the Constitution, then we must be reestablished under the common law. From that perspective, we then have to be heard. And everybody who has lost their homes that is attached to our case, we should suspect that they should be able to get remedy for that. So those are some possibilities. But you can try to, again, appeal back to the federal court to the fact that, you know, first of all, you're not a lawyer. You're just trying to figure things out, number one. Number two, this is a case of violation of due rights. My rights were violated, and you people, of course, you're being a little more respectful, we don't want to call them you people, but you people are responsible for championing the Constitution, for championing my unalienable rights. So I make that point to the court and to try to get it back in. And then again, the second way you could do is sue the court, sue the judge, sue everybody that's involved in the case, and put it together, a conspiracy, moving into jurisdictions unknown, et cetera, violating your right of due process, and so on. And then again, like I said, the other option is to attach to our case. All right, and if you're interested in that, you can send an email of your interest to intake@nationallibertyalliance.org, and Jim will get that paper and walk through the paperwork with you on that.
Hey, John?
Yes?
I just want to make a quick comment on things in general, but especially these courts and these mortgages and all the stuff we got going on. You got to realize that we're in a time unlike any other in history. Everything is pretty liquid right now. We don't really, you know, we know that we're going to go back to the common law, but when we get there or how we get there, they're not going to let them loan money at interest anymore. That's done.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
And so basically, they're foreclosing on something that they have no authority to do in the first place. Right. It's all illegal. Now,
I think that's why when we get to the other side, all that mortgages are just going to be
going to fall away. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I don't want people, you know, they say it's hopium. I think it's much closer than you realize. There's stuff going on. I watch everything. And, you know, you ever buy those prepaid, like, Visa cards, like at Cumberland Farms? They got these prepaid cards. I like to use them. You put money on them. And mm-hmm. then you can use them. And I like to use them online because I don't like to use my real credit card, because if I put $100 on there and somebody steals it or they do anything, they can only get what's on the card. That's it. So it's a safer way of shopping online and things. And a lot of students use them. Anyway, make a long story short, I used to go in and get them. And it's really not anonymous like it used to be, because now they got you putting your social security number in. You never had to do that. So once they started doing that, then they're kind of tracking you. But anyway, they have a fee when you take the card out. Like, let's say you say put $60 on the card. So then he rings it in the register, some cards cost $1.95 and some cost $3.95. Well, two times I bought cards in the past week. And they're not charging the fee anymore. Cumberland Farms, why? Something's going on. Why would they be giving me that card with no fee on it? It's just an anomaly that we have to look at. So that's what makes me think there's things moving. Because maybe they told them they couldn't charge that fee. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, they're not going to be able to charge you interest on money. And there's a reason for that, because that's our money. If it's really the Federal Reserve and not a bunch of private bankers, how could you charge yourself interest? It's our money. So if they lend you, it was always considered usury, right?
Absolutely. And the only thing they could do is they can charge points for the particular agencies, banks particular, that run the loan and take care of all the paperwork and so on and so forth. They may get a point or something, or half a point, whatever.
Right, I agree.
But other than that, you're right, no interest. You pay back.
Well, what I think is strange, when you buy that card and they want $5.95 to activate it, that's what that is. That's like a point fee for you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, they're not charging it. I say, give me the card for $60. They ring $60. There's no tax, no nothing. They hand me the credit card. That's strange, I think. So I'm just making a note of it. I have no idea why they're doing it. Maybe it's a Cumberland Farm thing. Maybe they got some kind of sale going on. But the guy at the register shook his head. He says, I don't know why it's not charging. You know what I mean? But I'm just telling people that we are in very... liquid times, I guess, is the best way to say it. Things are in transition and moving. And so even when you're in court, they're going to start doing some strange stuff. I guarantee it. And they're also going to start panicking, which is not a good thing, because, you know, it'll be at our expense when they panic. If the judges and the lawyers and the corporations panic, what do you think they're going to panic? They're going to panic in their favor, you know? So just be prepared, because I don't know what kind of fugazi stuff they're going to do, but I'm telling you, it's coming down, and it's going to get worse as the summer goes on. That's my feeling.
Well, yeah, but I think, I think we'll be in control during that process. We may not be in the beginning of that process, but sometime during that process, we'll take control. And I think things are going to happen and before that, and the collapse will be a controlled collapse. I think, and remember, the plan is, whoever's in power at the time, if the enemy is in power, their plan has been, of course, to bring us into such debt that's impossible to pay back, and all these trillions of dollars, $100 trillion or close to it. And ultimately, I hear the real number is more like $200 trillion. And I don't know how they get to that, but in any event, it's a number that's an impossibility for us to pay back. It would take many, many generations to even consider being able to pay that back. And with that, they were to bring us into, you know, bankruptcy and ultimately slavery, and that's that. Now, on the other side of the coin, because the whole thing was a fraud, and all the people have been defrauded by this. We've all been injured by this, no matter what. Every single person in the United States has been injured. Ultimately, let's just stick within the United States. So with that being said and done, the reverse is the case. All of their assets will be seized. All of the whatever they got, the money, the gold, the silver, the assets, and that will benefit the people in some way, however that plan goes out. And I think one of the things will happen is the mortgages being forgiven. I think that's one thing that will happen. Credit cards also, and a lot of other things. And again, it's presumption. I really don't know how they're going to deal with this. But the people got to get back. You know, we have an electric situation, which we should be getting free electric. There's plenty of technology that can give us electric, and I think that eventually will be set up. Like Trump said, the best is yet to come. To bring things, this nation, back to where it belongs, back under the common law, where we the people not only own the government and control, we control the government. We have government by consent of the people. And all that starts off really within the courts. We have to take control of the courts. And the courts, from looking into Lysander Spooner, and we looked at that last week, And I've been really contemplating on that. As a matter of fact, I just updated the handbooks, and it may be another handbook update because Jan's got a hold of this updated handbook now on the jurist handbook, and I added in the front page for the fully informed jurist. So it's Grand and Petit Jury Handbook for the fully informed jurist, and I added in a lot of stuff from Lysander Spooner. And some more things from our founding fathers, the book has already been, for lack of a better word, perfected. Of course, nothing ever really gets perfectly perfected. So Jan's going through it to see if he sees any more problems, and we'll do some corrections in English, punctuation, and so on, if necessary. But most of the adding is really pretty much, Other people's words, quotes, Lysander Spooner particularly. So anybody wants a copy of that, I'm also going to be looking into taking this particular book and creating it into a handbook and maybe running it through, I'm not sure who it does, Amazon or Google or something where we can...
Yeah, you can publish on Amazon.
Is it Amazon? Yeah, so I'll probably go and publish in the beginning off of them so we can get it out so people can buy it. But it will always be available to download in... PDF form. We'll always have that because we want everyone to have access to this information. But we will put it into handbook form, potentially a pocket handbook where people can stick it into their shirt pockets. And at some point in time, we'll get when we have money coming in and things are happening, we'll get large quantities printed out, which we can then get them really cheap. And then sell them by the hundreds to juries, to different groups within the counties that open up the juries. And, of course, the government would be paying for those because these would be handbooks that would be needed within the courts to have fully informed jurists. I am really, really, really pleased with this handbook. Now, if people haven't read this handbook, you need to get up and read this handbook. It was originally 30 pages. I think, it's 38 now. So it was originally 30 pages. It's now 38 pages. And again, within a week or so, I'm sure if there's any corrections, we'll be uploading another one. We'll just change the date on it. Right now, the date of the book was dated today for the 12th. So it's 7/12/21. And if we update it within the week, you'll see we updated the date to maybe 7/20/21 or whatever. And then you'll be able to download the most. But again, it wouldn't be anything other than really punctuation, I'm sure, which would be the corrections if be necessary. And maybe some proper English that needs to be corrected here or there. But it should be minimum. But again, this handbook, extremely powerful. By adding what I added on and going back and reading it, you don't have to have any knowledge in common law or how things work. If you're a jurist and you are orientated by this handbook, as a matter of fact, that is going to be the orientation for the juries, is this handbook. We will create PowerPoints that will really go through these different subject matters within this handbook. We'll post them up and people will be able to download them and use them for orientation for the juries. And then they'd be handing out these handbooks. And then we will truly have government by consent. We will have trial by the people and no longer by the government. And again, it's extremely, extremely powerful.
Want to make an observation that the speed that those booklets get out there and become somewhat common with at least the people in the court system and the attorneys and their upper politicians is going to determine the speed at which this thing goes as far as getting back to common law. Because until they have the tools in their hands, they're not going to be able to function properly. I mean, they don't have the knowledge yet. So the quicker we get this stuff out and push it out there and start supplying it to those people that are in those positions that need it first, like the judges and the juries, you know, we can concentrate on that. But in the meantime, I think homeschooling is going to become very much more important. The whole COVID thing talked people into homeschooling. It was a good thing that people didn't send their kids to the brainwash factory, you know, even though they had them on computers brainwashing them, but that's besides the point. So I think what we're doing is probably the most important work that's happening in the nation right now. It's the best kept secret, basically, and it really needs to go viral. And I don't know.
Well, I believe that's coming up, and there are numerous things working on in the background right now that should everything work well, and I believe it will. It will go viral, I think, very quickly, and it's all connected really to the book that's coming out, Government by Consent, and
right.
I'll explain that in a minute. But I just want to go back to this booklet concerning the jurist. One of the things I just realized I did not correct yet. So if you download this book. The table of contents is not correct. It's changed. Oh. And I haven't altered that yet. So I will alter that in the next few days. Jan will go through what he's got to get done. We'll make the final corrections. We'll get it up within the week. But I'm going to leave this the way it is, leave it available for people to look at it, because you could read through the book, because that's how it's going to be laid out. But going back to what Gerard was just saying, the key thing here is this. And I've been contemplating how to approach this, and I've been writing some stuff, and I just started making lists of the defendants and how we're going to approach the defendants and what the position is. I'd like to make it a short paper, but it's an impossibility. It's going to be reams of evidence anyway, and I'm going to try to make the main paper that really lays out their crimes. That's going to be as minimum as possible. But still, I don't see it as being ultimately short. I see it being easily 100 pages, maybe, because there's so much to that they have to account for. There's so much damage that they have done. And who has done this damage? And it is the Bar Association, going all the way back to 1750, when the British Bar was created. And of course, the King worked with that, and the Pope worked with that, and the whole purpose was ultimately to move everything under civil law so that they could control the people, keep them slaves and so on, and destroy the common law within Britain and within the colonies. And of course, the colonies rebelled, and you know this, where the story went, and you got the ABA here and so on and so forth. But the whole thing is all about bar attorneys. They are the enemies of the people. They are the enemies of the Constitution. They are the enemies of our Bill of Rights, all of our founding documents. They are the destroyers of our natural law republic. They have been given letters of marque in order to destroy our judicial process, our economic system, our political process and system, and to destroy it totally back in 1718, I believe it was. And around the same time, maybe 2 years before, we had a situation where, no, actually it was 2 years after, I believe. No, actually, I think it was before, because already this process was in motion, and the king and the pope had got together to conspire to destroy this nation together, although the king was already working on it, and the pope was already working on it. But they made a close alliance back in those days. And our founding fathers knew about this, even in the creation, and that's why in the Constitution they put, that anybody that had a title of nobility could not hold an office of trust. But what they did forget is to add in a title of honor, which would cover the esquires, because esquires don't hold titles of nobility. A title of nobility is inherited, where a title of honor is imposed upon an individual, such as a knight or an esquire, a gentleman, and so on. So that's not inherited, that is a title of honor. So our founding fathers, I guess, realized they didn't get that in, and that's why they wrote the 13th Amendment, which, again, was back in about 1818 also. And Jefferson was still around and involved with that. So this is the problem we have. They have encompassed everything. They have taken control of everything, transportation, our medical system, the pharmaceutical companies, large corporations, everything you can think of, the flow of traffic, commercial activity, our government, everything you can think of, they have taken under the control. There's over 80,000 lawyers working in Washington, D.C. alone, and that doesn't even include the elected lawyers that are in those positions. So with all that said and done, our focus has got to be, and we're going to name every one of these individuals, at least on the court level, providing I can get to find the list. If not, we'll just refer to it as the judiciary. But I'd like to name every single judge in the federal on the federal docket. And so that's my plan. And I might try to hand that job over to someone else to try to gather all those different judges. You know, we look into every federal district, and we know we can pull the names off of each one of these federal districts. So we can work with that. I should have shut that off. But anyway, we can work with that and get that together. We're going to name all of the and I was really struggling with this one because, you know, Thomas, for instance, is a good guy. We got a few good guys up there in the Supreme Court on one end, but on the other hand, they're liable too. Every one of them is liable, and I think they all got to go. Even Thomas, great guy. I think they all got to go.
Big problem. They got a big problem because you have three corporations that control 96% of all the business in the world. They own every other company. They're all tied together. And so who runs that? That's the judges, the lawyers, and now the millionaire families, the politicians who are bribing and using whatever pedophilia, whatever they got to do so that these judges will not make a right decision. You know what I mean? So they have all of them in their pocket. We got to dismantle these big corporations. They got to go bye-bye because three corporations own everything, John. I couldn't believe it.
Well, of course. That is, actually, I think there's six of them all together, but they're all really.
It's a monopoly.
Anyway. Yeah, it's a monopoly.
It's a monopoly from top to bottom.
Economic system. Yes.
Disgusting.
But anyway, the thing is that we have to go after the Bar Association. We have to go after every federal judge. We have to go after the United States Supreme Court. We got to put them on notice, and that's where we got. And we have been going after, generally speaking, all of them. But now we're going to name names and make it much clearer. And again, when we file this, we can't file this now because it'll go nowhere. But we'll have to file it after the events that are coming heading this way, which I think is going to come this summer. I'm pretty confident of that. I don't think we can last much past the summer anyway with all the destruction that these people are doing. But, you know, the people have to see, as many have said, and that's where we're at. People are seeing, but at some point things will happen, and then we're going to happen. And it's up to the people. Now, getting to critical mass, which is the key to our success, we now have just about 10,000 members here with the National Liberty Alliance. And we got to wake up the ones that are sleeping with us. There's many of them, of course, are still sleeping. And in any organization, you know, it's only a fraction of people that really operate the process, keep things going, attend the meetings, and go onward. But there has to become a time when people are going to have to make a decision. But the key thing is getting critical mass. And how do we get critical mass? We're working on a list right now of getting interviewed for my book, okay, Government by Consent. There's one program in particular I really want to get onto, and I think we have a good shot at it, and that's Uncommon Knowledge. And that guy is really a good interview. He's been doing this for maybe 20, 30 years, and he's on television and usually on PBS, and he's also on YouTube, and I'm sure many other places where it's broadcasted. So I think we have a good shot on getting that, considering the content of the book. So we've got to get a copy of the book to that individual. Also, Valuetainment, this guy's got over 2 million people that are subscribed to his program. And often his programs will get a million hits, you know. And I think with this particular subject matter, focusing in on government by consent, I think we'll get great exposure there. Then there's numerous other individuals we're looking for, maybe a half a dozen, and I think we're going to, if anybody knows of any large groups of people that you know, we can address concerning the book, Government by Consent, and be interviewed on that program by whoever is hosting that program, by all means, get that information to us and send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Tell us the individual's name, the name of the program, and any information or address or anything you can get on that, and then we'll take a look at that, confirm the address, and try to get a copy of the book to the right individuals that would read it. Now, again, the book is the solution to the problem. It's a compilation of everything we have been doing here at National Liberty Alliance and before. So this goes back ultimately. Goes back more than 12 years, and it really even covers to some degree things that you know, we're involved with from a different perspective with We the People Foundation, and that was run by Robert Schultz. So it really covers a lot of stuff, and we've been writing for a long time, putting papers together, and all kinds of different things for educating. And then eventually into the courts and so on and so forth. And collectively, it's far more than the book, ultimately, that we have already put together. And the book is 900 pages, just about. And we probably have another 900 pages or close to it that we could even add to that. So maybe there probably will be a part two to this, a second book, and may have a different name, but it'll be an educational book for the purpose of coming to appreciate and understand our legal system and the common law and how things really work. So it will be an extension of the original book. But I will tell you that if people just get the knowledge, if the general public just gets the knowledge of this one handbook, that's all they need to get started. Of course, they should have much more knowledge than that, but that's the beginning. And again, more than enough to realize who the lawmakers really are, and that the people make the decision, that the courts of law belong to we the people, doesn't belong to government. All right, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Gerard, before I move on.
That's why we're more powerful than you think we are, because if we have 10,000 and everybody conscientiously downloaded that book and started spreading around, the potential for that to grow exponentially is massive. If everybody would just make those things common around their house and in their neighborhoods, and let it start getting out there, you know, you put one book in the right hands, you don't know, you know what I mean? The right guy will take that and run with it. That's what we want. And absolutely. And that's up to our membership to do that by using it in their homeschool course.
But definitely before they do that, make sure before you do that that you wait until we do the final update. So,
right, okay. Right. I'm assuming that, you know, it's done and we're going to use that. And it's really, look at it, all it, you know, we are the virus in the system. We're like the Matrix. And we're the virus that's going to go out there and spread freedom like a virus, because once it takes off, there's no stopping it. But it's up to us to get it out all over the place, push it out there, push it out. Even if you took them and you printed them and stapled them and left them in your doctor's office, you know what I'm saying? I mean, things like that, you have no idea what kind of trigger that could make. And believe me, that's how things get out there. That's how things happen.
Even give a copy to your pastor or
everybody, the sheriff. When the state trooper pulls you over, you go, here, by the way. You know what I mean?
Well, they're not allowed to take anything. I've tried that.
Oh, really?
They won't take it. Yeah.
Really?
They said they're not, they can't. They're instructed not to take anything from an individual. So you're not going to get it for them. But I did get one who took it anyway.
I don't see how they can... Look, he can take my license, no?
Well, that's true. Yeah, they can take you, too.
This is pertinent to that, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's... I don't know. You know what? Mail it to the police officers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just saying there's a lot of ways to
get it to your sheriff. I mean, the sheriff isn't under that kind of rule, and maybe the deputies aren't either, or they shouldn't be. But, yeah, you could definitely get a copy to your sheriff until we get a book to him. And again, everybody should be considering buying a book for the sheriff government by consent. So you go up on our website and click on the book, and it's on every page on the right-hand side. Just click on the book, government by consent, and on the form that you fill out to get the book, there's an opportunity to check a box and fill in the information for your sheriff, and we'll get a copy to the sheriff with a letter from a sheriff to the sheriff, introducing them to the book. So, but
listen, them telling you that they can't take a Constitution book from you is a misinterpretation of the law.
Well, they don't. They're not. They can't think that way. It's not that it's not.
Oh, they have discretion.
But it's not that they can't take the Constitution book. It's they've been trained that you can't take anything from anyone, and they can't think beyond the point that this is just a piece of paper or some book. Or, you know, they can't think. They're robots. That's how come they work for the government like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they're minions for them also, as well as anyone else, as far as the lawyers are concerned. I mean, they look at most lawyers have no idea that they're the destroyers of our republic. They don't understand that.
Look, here's what government does, and I was in it for a while, and I saw it firsthand. They came out with the FOIA request, the Freedom of Information Act, right? Oh, that's a great thing. You can get information when they don't want to give it to you. They used to tell everybody that came into the town clerk, if they wanted to know something, she'd go, FOIA request it.
Yeah.
They turned it into an obstacle, John.
That's right.
So you didn't have to open the book. They drag your feet. They make you wait the whole 20. I was there. I heard, oh, no, don't give them nothing, you know, because you could only get sued from that. So the whole idea is to stymie John Q. Public walks in there. We don't want to give him any information. We don't want our troopers taking a Constitution book. That should be unconstitutional right there. Anything that says that.
It is unlawful, because that shows the fact that we don't have government by consent. You're the boss, you walk in, you should get anything you want. Now, it's appreciated that if you're getting some information that
personal stuff, blah, blah.
Reconsidered and looked
common
at
sense.
Yes.
Common sense. That's a bunch of baloney.
Do that just when we go get a walking list. I mean, the ridiculous of that. So
When I was in the town, on the town board, I told... because I was their boss, I was the elected official, I said, somebody comes in and wants to know something about a piece of property, you give it to them. Don't be telling them to FOIA request it. I said, you know, that FOIA request is basically for almost like corrupt government that doesn't want to give information that they're supposed to give.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you telling everybody FOIA request everything? FOIA request. Because they turned it into an obstacle. Because when you hit the average person with another roadblock, they have so much trouble getting down there in the first place, and then you start throwing other roadblocks, they know that people don't have the wherewithal to jump through those hoops, and that's why they did that.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, it's not really a freedom of information, it's unfree information, you know?
Everything they do is the opposite of what they're claiming it's for.
Exactly. So anyway, I think we beat that subject to death. I'm going to shut up.
And by the way, if anybody wants to get into the Q Star 6 and 1, into the Q Star 6 and 1, we only got a couple people in the queue right now. But let me just quickly go through this. This is, again, this is a really, really a good booklet. I tried to keep this as short as possible on one hand because, you know, I appreciated what it was being used for. So it was down to 30 pages. Now it's 38, but that's pretty short. And, you know, of course, there's a table of contents, which is this page, and it needs to be updated. That's the only thing that really needs to be updated, and maybe possible some other, you know, corrections of dot and the tittle here. But anyway, we also cover the purpose of the handbook, an introduction to this system that they're coming into, the two courts. The people are the author and the source of the law. Very important for people to realize that, and trial by jury really makes that clear when we get into that part of it. We got the juror's oath, the juror's vow, the federal rules of civil procedure, the rules of the common law, maxims. And then we cover specific information on the pettitures, the eight stages of the trial, the conduct of a jury during the trial, the jury's decision is final in the jury room, the jury's responsibility is to deliver justice, not uphold the law. The jury decides the laws and the facts, the jury tampering and proper instructions to the jury, a final arbiter of all things, unalienable rights of the jury in sentencing after the trial. And then we cover specific information for grand jurors, the grand jury procedure, the quorum, the evidence before the grand jury, questioning the witness, calling the person under investigation as a witness, the evidence needed before Trouville may be voted, deliberations, secrecy, protection of the grand jurors, and practical suggestions for the grand jury. And then in here, the trial by jury, it was broken up, I think, into two parts. A small section was because it worked well in one area better, so I put that small section in one place and then the rest of it into another place. And I forget exactly where I put it, but it'll be placed in its proper form and place here in the in this table of contents. But it's the trial by jury by Alexander, but not by Alexander, by Lysander Stuna. And then, of course, we have a glossary of terms in here, also very important for jurors to understand specific words and realize what's going on. But this book, again, this in itself is a full education to be fully informed on the power and the authority of the people. And the next step is the right of the people to have government by consent. I mean, falls right in place with this, of course. And it starts with the right of the people to have government by consent right here in the court. And Lysander Spooner makes that point very, very, very clear.
Let me tell you what. The judges are not going to want the juries to have this book because the jury is going to put the judge in his place because that's the guy that's tainting the jury all the time. And if they had this knowledge, they wouldn't let that happen. You know what I mean? And then in order for pretty soon the jury is going to be more educated than the judge is. He's going to be forced to read the book, if you think about it.
Well, absolutely.
Right?
But then, you know, they're going to choke on it, though, the judges and lawyers. They're going to choke on
well,
it. First of all, it doesn't work in the reality. It's planet Mars to them because they have been so brainwashed into their education, and that started in kindergarten, of course, for these people, and right on through the basic education, and they got them with fresh brains there at 18, age 18, and took them to college and really destroyed them.
They
spent a lot of money to have that education.
How could it be that
could be wrong?
They set this whole system up because their ultimate goal was China 2.0, to have us locked down, tracked and traced with social credit points where if you don't agree or you say something, they take your money away. This is what was, if Hillary would have won, that's what we would have been into by now. And they haven't stopped that agenda. They still think they're going to win because that's the way the devil is. You know, and of course, you know what happens. They get to a certain point and they go, well, if I can't have it, nobody can have it. So they'll try to burn the whole place down. That's where they're dangerous.
Right.
You know, if they still have enough resources, they will burn the house down in their fight to not get kicked out of it, you know? So, and that's where we are right now. We're at a very dangerous point, you know?
All right, well, anyway, on this book, second page...
I think Brent is here, but anyway, go ahead.
All right. Second page, we have a note here, National Liberty Alliance gives permission for the copying of this book only in its entirety. This handbook is not to be sold, but only freely distributed for liberty. Now, again, we will eventually sell handbooks, pocket handbooks, and we'll give them the best price we can, and eventually we'll get them dirt cheap by ordering large sums of them, and we can sell them, you know, really dirt cheap for 100 books at a time, and that would go to different, you know, to the juries, the administrators for the juries would purchase those books, hundreds or and many hundreds, in order to pass them out to every potential jurist. And of course, you know, that would be paid for by the government through the county. And we'll go through that process with all of the administrators on how all that works and the fundings and the monies and payroll and all of that, how that, but we've already worked all of that out, those details. But so anyway, again, we will update this book eventually before the next few days, to the week at the most, but I think in the next few days. I'm going to go back to Jan because Jan has a few more questions, I believe. And Jan, can you get that booklet back to me in a day or two that I passed to you this evening?
Yeah, probably two or three.
Okay, so by the weekend, I should have it back and get the table of contents corrected and then put up there. And whatever date, it will be a later date. So with that, let's go to our other questions. Brent is here. We'll be calling Brent shortly.
I'm just going to say that once this gets fixed up to where you can print it, we NLA members should have their own committees of printing this up and getting it out in their counties. However,
absolutely.
They can.
Anybody can print it and get it out there.
Right. So there should be a group of NLA members, four or five, whatever, and they should consciously, you know, concentrate on getting this book out in their county. Because that's the best way to have it hit the street.
Right.
And so that's something that we could do on our own. Maybe
you
they
know,
want to.
This is an eye-opener for any sheriff, too.
It's an eye-opener for everybody. How many people have
heard that? But how much more we need the sheriff to really open their eyes and start to really reconsider his job and who he is. If the people are that powerful, you know, he should realize that really brings him to a much more powerful position. And how he should be thinking. If the people are thinking this way, I should be thinking this way. After all, you know, in the sheriff's position, I'm one of the people too, you know? And
you know,
he's the sheriff.
I just had a thought. It's funny how entertainment mirrors what's going on in society. And they got that song, "Who are you?" That's what we should be asking. Who are you? Right?
Yeah.
This book lets him know who he is. And most of them don't know who they are.
No, they don't.
They don't. So anyway, all right, I'm going to shut up.
All right, Jan, any other questions?
We have a short one for you, John.
Okay.
How do you get a state court to issue a writ of mandamus to a county board of elections to perform a forensic audit?
Well, that's a good question. To do what now?
To perform a forensic audit.
On the voting, like they're doing in Arizona.
Let's leave that to Trump because they're working on that, and we shouldn't put our fingers into that. You know, that's why one of the reasons why we don't want it to go too hard on judges yet, and particularly the United States Supreme Court, until everything settles down and the hammer comes down and the smoke starts to clear, and that's when we're going to see who we will really approach. You know, as the smoke is clearing, we have five justices up there that we expect them to be doing the right thing. We expect them to have knowledge. We do realize that they've had a gun to their head, that they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. We can't not name them because to some degree they are guilty of the fact that they have conspired and continue to control things working to suppress the common law in this nation. And the fact that they still continue to overstep their authority outside of equity. They do not have the power and the authority to make any decisions on any court case outside of equity. You know, there's a court case recently where the judge threw the jury's decision out, and I forget what it was and where it was, but it was just very recent, within the past couple of weeks. I mean, how can they think that they have the possibility to overrule a trial jury? I mean, how do they think that? You have a prosecutor that is trying to prosecute an individual, who is a woman, and I think I talked about this last week a little bit, but it was a woman whose children, not children, but a child, she left a child in the car, okay, mindlessly, I guess, whatever. She forgot the child was in there, and she was going about a business, and she forgot the child was in there, and when she got back, the child was dead. So then they filed charges against this woman. But you see, and this has been reinforced just recently, because I've been really looking hardcore at trial by jury, and Lysander Spooner makes this point very clear. In order for there to be a crime, there has to be intent, and there has to be an intent before the action, okay? The fact that the woman had no intent, okay, of killing her child, and you know what? The death of a child is enough of a punishment for that individual alone. To bring that person into court is just horrible, just horrible beyond the words that I can think of. Okay, now of course, if there was an intent there, it's a whole different story. But they didn't even go to that point. The point is, they even made the point that she forgot the child. So, you know, they don't have nothing.
So, what are they getting there on, involuntary manslaughter? Is that what
they're going after for something for? Manslaughter, murder. I don't know what they're going after.
I would think that it has to be in.
There can be no criminal complaint. There's no criminal action there. There was no intent, no planning, nothing.
They got statutes that if you do something that a normal man wouldn't do, like something stupid, like they used to tell us, I drive in the fire truck. Yeah, I got a right to run a red light or a stop sign. However, I can't kill people to do it. So, There's a guiding principle that did he do something that a normal person in the normal course of things wouldn't do? In other words, was I so reckless that when I went through that intersection?
Recklessness is a different story. Okay, now recklessness, okay, is not a criminal act either. Okay?
No, it's that not. But they're still going to get you for those damages.
Well, that's a different story, but it's not, look, we're not under statutes, we're not under codes, we're not under any of those things, we're not under regulations, we're under the law. Now, if they think that there was a certain intent here, or if there was damages and things of that nature...
Well, let's say I was doing 80 miles an hour and I killed somebody. They'll say, you should know better than doing 80 miles an hour in an intersection.
Well, that's true, and again, they can go after you, but there still has to be intent, okay? And that's a hard one to think about, really, when you put it that way. But nevertheless, there still has to be intent. Okay, you have to have intent. Now, it doesn't mean you can't go after the person. It doesn't mean that charges can't be filed against an individual, but it has to be civil. Okay, it has to be civil unless you have intent. Okay, anyway, I think we should think about this more. And again, every court case has to be thought out by the 12 individuals that are hearing the
right,
case.
That's what the juries are supposed to be doing. Because where do you stop? Okay, so the guy was incompetent. But wait a minute. Wasn't he supposed to check him out with his driving? Maybe he shouldn't have put him behind the wheel. So maybe the chief's liable. Anyway.
Now, again, there's so many different things, and if it's necessary... It goes before the jury, the grand jury, and the grand jury sees a potential. Yeah, they can bring it in, and then the next step, of course, is the trial jury deciding. But really, without intent or proving, making the point of an intent to do a criminal act, whatever it may be, to charge a criminal act against somebody, there has to be something to make that point. And if it's not there, then the grand jury should have the knowledge to not... not indict.
Look at the case in point was what's his name? The black guy that murdered the girl, and they didn't convict him of murder, but civilly they convicted him of murder. O.J. Simpson.
Right.
Because it in a civil suit it doesn't have to be beyond a reasonable doubt, and you can weigh all the evidence, and then get a civil judgment against him, and that's what they did to him. Because they couldn't get him on murder because they botched a case up or whatever, you know what I mean? They didn't have enough evidence, but they ended up putting him in jail anyway. You know what I mean? But
it was something else, I think, wasn't it?
Well, he did stupid things after that. Yeah. That's true, mm-hmm. But they did do a civil suit and he did lose it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Anyway, so that's the point. All right.
Let's move on. Okay. What else do we have here, Jan?
Well, that's about it, John. We had another one that we discussed earlier, which needs to go back for a rewrite. Other than that, we're done.
Oh, that extremely long one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to make just a quick announcement before we move forward to the next step here, and that is that I did speak with my publisher. There's a whole new group of people, as I mentioned last week, working on this. They did get back to me on Friday this past week. And made an appointment for a meeting, which I had a long meeting with them this morning. And you know, their plan was to take 6 weeks, okay, to get this book to print from this point forward. But they did agree that they're going to escalate that because, you know, we're really way behind schedule. So they're moving my book up to move it a lot quicker. So we set up another meeting for after print, which will be the 30th. I'm going to print on the 26th, which I'm not sure whether they'll go out to be mailed on the 26th, but I'm expecting them to be mailed maybe on the 27th. They will print that X amount of books. I discussed some things. They're approaching 26 different bookstores, and Barnes & Noble is one of them. Barnes & Noble is very close to me, so hopefully maybe I'll have a book review or something, whatever they call that, at the library or something, work those things out. But anyway, that's going to be done. And I also
do a book signing at Barnes & Noble?
Yeah. And then something, also they just started to talk about libraries and stuff, so we'll try to get into the libraries. I need more information on that, on how that works and how I can try to move that to really get it out beyond just local libraries, to really get it out into the system. There was a person that brought this information to me, and I think they gave me a booklet. I got to go looking for it on how to get your book into a library and to get it out all the way out there. I got to look into that or maybe try to make contact with this individual again to see what I can get on that. But we want to get this book out as far as we can. The 26th is the date we go to print, and then it'll be mailed out right after it's printed. So again, I'm sure they're going to print out whatever books they got, and they said I'd be getting the first mailing with those books, so you know we'll get them pretty quickly. So that should happen soon. Okay, with that, we'll go to Brent. You here? You got your ears on here? Brent. Walden Brent.
Yeah, here I am.
There we go. Okay. All right, I'm going to introduce Brent and to pass the mic to him for a while. Gerard, you got to take the controls here? Gerard, don't fall asleep on me now.
I'm muted because I'm making noise here, but yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pass things over to Brent and pass the controls to you. Okay, we're going to go forward with Brent Allen Winters. He's the author of The Excellence of the Common Law and some other things that he has written. His website is commonlawyer.com. Brent, you got the mic. And Gerard, you got the board.
Thank you, John. And this is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. And my words here are my own, and they may or may not comport with other people that are the principals or the leaders or anybody else, I suppose, that's connected with National Liberty Alliance, but they're nice enough to let me say a few words, and I always appreciate it. I guess it's in the interest of freedom of speech. That's the thing we're suffering not having right now. If there isn't freedom of speech in two places in America, there isn't freedom of speech anywhere. And when you see freedom of speech, it will be attacked fundamentally and mostly in those two places. When you see that happen, you know you better do something. You better start talking the truth. You better, whatever opportunity you have to say the truth, you need to be saying it. Well, those two places are what we have traditionally called the courts and the pulpit. The courts and the pulpit. It is no accident that The evil empire has taken a serious go at the courts and the pulpits of America during this COVID pandemic. The courts are effectually, as a practical matter, shut down. No question about that. And the pulpits have been attacked viciously to the point of throwing preachers in pulpits in jail. You know, Christianity is the only religion that has preachers. No other religion has preachers. Why is that? Well, the simple answer is no other religion has anything to get excited about. No other religion has any good news. No other religion says that mankind's sins, his offenses against his Maker, are forgiven. No other religion says that. And therefore, those that preach the truth of that are there's something to preach. And they're attacked because the wonderful truths of the enjoyment and the benefits of mankind, the evil empire and the useful idiots of it, the minions of the devil himself, hate with a pink-purple passion, hate truth, hate what is good. They lust for blood. Oh yeah, that's why they're abortionists. They lust to kill anybody they can. Their feet cannot rest, the Bible says, until they have shed blood. Well, that's what we're seeing with this jabbing of people with this so-called vaccination. But let's talk about Islamic law and government. Islamic law and government. Now I'm going to take this, what I say here, from the winterized, some people call it the winterized version of the Bible, toward a raw translation, from the original tongues by yours truly. And this is Appendix 34 of 130 appendices tracing major themes through the laws of nature's God. The laws of nature's God, lex scripta, as Blackstone puts it, we call it the Bible. Appendix 34 says, Islamic law and government. The traditional disrespect, well, this is a quote, he who never quotes is never quoted. This is from Carl Middleton, great quotations that shaped the Western world from the year 2008. The traditional disrespect of private property is reinforced by the Quran, where all goods belonged to their false god and to the caliph, their god's viceroy. Traditionally, the Arabs call him a sultan. A sultan. Karl Marx recognized that the absence of private property in Muslim nations was the key to the whole of the East. Karl Marx recognized this 150 years ago. The absence of private property, he said, in Muslim nations was the key to the whole of the East. That is why it is so poor. Arab socialism is today seen in the term Green Line, that is the border between Israel and Jordan. Well, popular choice gains the day as a matter of choice, where no other rule exists, or where the existing rule falls away. Popular choice gains the day as a matter of choice, where no other rule exists, or where the existing rule falls away. That's a quote from Robert Duncan Culver in his book, Toward a Biblical View of Civil Government. And it is true in history. You see that popular choice, democracy, gains the day where no other rule exists. And that's the great danger of living in a lawless world. That's why our Declaration of 76 says that our fundamental law is the laws of nature, unwritten, lex non scripta, and the laws of nature's God, written, the Bible. Islam is fundamentally Babylonian in four respects. First, it refuses to recognize the weakness of human reason in its supposed elite. Second, it demands one's abject fear of the powerful and obedience to his impersonal will instead of one's obedience to responsibilities arising from personal relationships. Three, it deems ownership of all property to be in its God's representative on earth. Therefore, number four, its goal is urbanization. Urbanization in order to citify the people, called civilization of the populace. The word civilization means citification. The word civil is a Latin word pertaining to things relating to cities and the city law, the civil law, the code of Justinian, the great adversary of our common law, our law of the land. Because Islam's God is impersonal and without mercy, forced obedience to his will is the all-consuming mania of Islam. The word Islam means absolute submission and demands absolute submission. Thus, the symbol of Islam is the sword, an instrument used to force one's will upon another. The law of Islam, as all the rest of the Babylonian system, is at root a martial law. Martial? That means a military law. No juries, no right to remain silent, no privacy, no freedom from unreasonable searches and seizures, no freedom of speech, just like being in the army. It's like being on a naval ship. You're under a martial kind of a law called admiralty law when you're at sea. From its beginning, by acts of terror calculated to induce fear, Islam has sought to dominate men. Islam is a culture of religious fever, fueled by impersonal zeal for uniform application of arbitrary religious scruples. As opposed to encouraging one's tailored obedience, one's tailored obedience in response to God's unconditional love of his elect. That's the difference. Islam is all about domination, as is all of the law of the city. It's about domination of men. Domination of men. What's the law of the land about, fundamentally? Domination of land. That's why it's called the law of the land. If men's energies are poured into dominating the earth, the land, and all that in it is, he won't be dominating one another. As my father always said, if men were out scratching like chickens for something to eat, they wouldn't be fighting with one another. They got too much time on their hands, but that all comes down to what chickens do. Chickens dominate their environment. If you have never raised chickens, if you have ever raised chickens, you know what I mean. They dominate their environment. You watch a rooster. Don't think he doesn't dominate his environment. He'll attack a dog and run him off the porch. I've seen him do it. It's about dominating the land, not each other. From its beginning, by acts of terror, Islam has sought to dominate. It's a religion of pure terrorism. Terrorism. Terrorism is a religion. Terror. What is terror? Terror is what the Roman city-states, did to the area around the city. What did they do? They terrorized the people into submission. That's why they called it the territory. The territory around the city was that area of land where the city law and the dominators of the city government terrorized the inhabitants. What do we see in America today? The cities, Chicago, Illinois, right now, as I speak, is terrorizing the inhabitants of the state of Illinois. The cities of San Francisco, Los Angeles, Sacramento are terrorizing the vast expanses of the state of California, their territory. The city of Seattle is terrorizing the state of Washington. The city of New York City, is terrorizing the territory, the land, called the state of New York. Same thing is happening in Texas now, where Austin and Houston and Dallas-Fort Worth, no longer cow towns, as they were not too many decades ago, they are terrorizing the whole state. Denver, Colorado, Colorado Springs, terrorizing Colorado. Las Vegas, Nevada, combined with Reno, are terrorizing the vast expanses of the state of Nevada, where ranching is being shut down. Production is stopped. It's a culture of terrorism. Well, Islam is one of those, it's just another label of that Babylonian religion law and government. Islam is a culture of religious fever fueled by impersonal zeal for uniform application of arbitrary religious scruples. That's what it is. Moreover, because the God of Islam is impersonal, they don't call him Father. No. Our Father who art in heaven. No, that's not part of their understanding of reality. Islam deems it utterly blasphemous to refer to God as one's Father in any form. Islam seeks to enforce the will of the few through fear. By contrast, Christianity is God's truth realized through his love, L-O-V-E. By the way, the word love, no place in the writings of Islam appears that I've ever read or seen or heard of. This God, this false God, whatever he is a God of love. Islam means obedience. Obey or die. That's Islam. There is no unconditional compassion. There is no mercy. None at all. As with all Babylonian religions, no matter what they say, you know, Islam says it's a religion of peace. You hear them say that. What they don't tell you is that in Arabic, salam is like Hebrew, shalom. It doesn't mean the absence of war. It means the presence of order in the midst of battle. The presence of order in the midst of battle. And Islam is religion of never-ending, perpetual warfare. They understand it that way. And peace, salam, the cognate of shalom in Hebrew, salam, and they both mean the same thing. Again, order in battle, and they live a life of battle. Everything they do, everything in the religion is calculated to win the war. Every move, every word that Muhammad did was calculated to win by domination, not by law. And through the centuries, the ever-zealous sword of Islam has been due to its devotees' devotion to kill all refusing to join their pagan, idolatrous fawning. Islam recognizes two levels of devotion. Number one, those that accept the faith of Islam and those that reject the faith of Islam, but are willing to pay the Islamic tax, the zakat. For instance, the Islamic State deems Christians and other non-Islamic people that pay the zakat tax subjects of the state and thus entitled to the Muslim believer's exemption from the penalty of murder for killing an apostate from Islam. I'm quoting there from Nuha Min Keller, who wrote a book called Reliance of the Traveler. He himself Islamic, Reliance of the Traveler. Traveler's one of their writings, one of their holy books. For centuries, Islam's hate toward all those declining to join their odium has welded Islamic unity. Moreover, because Islam pursues its goals by sanctioning vengeance, Islam draws under the banner of its cause those of violent lust. Arabs, said the Arab historian Tudnassian, in the year 1390, plunder as they please. Arabs, plunder as they please. That was back in 1390 he said that. Why did he say that? Because that's what they do. That's their religion, to plunder and murder, to dominate, to steal. Well, that's fundamentally what the law of the city is all about. How do I separate you from your private property and make it mine? That's all it is. It's all it's ever been. There no longer exists any political power to protect property, and civilization is destroyed. That's what this Islamic scholar said. Under Islam, there no longer exists any political power to protect property. That's the religion of Islam. Islamic religion, law, and government remains Babylonian by its recognition of authority and power, and it is Athenian by putting man at the center of all. Athenian, that means fundamentally Greek. Greek. Greek logic. Plato, Aristotle. Matter of fact, Islam's the one that introduced Plato and Aristotle and the Greek writers of reason into Europe through Saint Thomas Aquinas. He's no more saint man than you or I. Almost said the man of the moon, but he's no more saint than you or I. But he was a smart man. Trouble was, he had his thinking upside down. And he accepted, as did the Jewish rabbi, Mohammedes. They were all three, those three men, Mohammedes, the Jewish rabbi of the Middle Ages, Thomas Aquinas, and Averroes, the Islamic sage of North Africa. They were contemporaries. And those three religions, in their modern form, Romanism, Judaism, and Islam, all started at the same time by the same means. What was that means? The Greek writers. Averroes thought, he said, I got to make this the bottom line of Islam, scholasticism. That's what Rome called it, and that's what it is, regardless of what you call it. That's what Islam is, elevating human logic above all else. Human logic above fact. Our common law, our law of the land, is about fact, not about logic. Logic will take care of itself. You just got to get the facts. What does fact rest on? Evidence. Logic? No, not logic. Evidence. Evidence is everything. Scholasticism is everything to Babylonian religion, law, and government. That means reason, logic. Fact is everything to our common law tradition. The truth. Islam is the Arab world's label and form of Greco-Roman materialism, likewise calling its highest aspiration for the individual socialization, resulting in what? Urbanization. Socialization results in urbanization. What is socialization? That's Tom Dewey's invention of that word. It means to make socialists out of people, just a synonym for communism, that's all. When I was homeschooling my children, we homeschooled my children. They're all grown and gone now. But people say, well, that was a long time ago, and that was a new idea, I suppose. People say, what about socializing your children? They won't be properly socialized. And I said, why would I want to socialize my children? I don't want my children to be Marxist. I don't want them to be socialist. I want them to learn how to get along with their parents. Why would I send them away to somebody else so they could ignore their parents? No, I want them to learn to respect me. And I want them to learn from me, and I want them to learn to get along with their brothers and sisters. I don't care if they get along with the vermin and the street urchins that go to school. And my children would have been vermin and street urchins too, of course. That's a danger even sending your child to Sunday school, for crying out loud. You know, bad company corrupts good morals. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. It's true. You send your children to school, they're not going to influence the other children. No, the other children are going to destroy them. Listen, I used to grow up, of course you did too. I was growing up, we raised animals. We raised cattle and hogs, chickens, goats. We had all sorts of stuff, milk and goats, butchering hogs. I remember when the sows would have their pigs, one thing we never did, we never put pigs together in the same group, in the same little pen, little baby pigs, because they'd kill one another if they were from a different litter. But yet we take our children and put them in places where children will destroy each other, abuse each other, beat the dickens out of each other. You say that's good? No, that's not good. They can learn to fight later, not when they're little. No. Any more than I wanted piglets to fight. When they got older, they learned how to fight, and they would fight. And when men get older, they will learn how to fight, but if you put them in an environment where they'll be where some of them will be dominated, they'll be discouraged from fighting when the fighting really counts when they get older. No, you greenhouse your children. Greenhouse them. And when they get old enough, then you turn them loose. Oh, yeah. And then they'll have convictions, and the fighting will be meaningful, not just fighting to fight like the street urchins. Well, let's get back to Islam here. Socialization results in urbanization, which means, in other words, the law of the city. And with all the things that go with urbanization, sodomy, lesbianism, full cooperation results in a complicated social process called urbanization. Now I'm quoting here from Ibn Khaldun, an Islamic fellow, Volume 1, this is the same fellow I quoted a while ago, Introduction to History, written in the year 1390. That's a long time ago. Listen to what he says. Full cooperation results in a complicated social process called urbanization. Hence the dictum, and he quotes the Greek writers, Plato. Remember, Islam is a result of the Greek logicians, Plato and Aristotle. Averroes introduced it way back then. This is very popular. That's the popular form now of Romanism and Judaism. Man is political by nature. Well, what Plato really said is man is a political animal. But this Islamic man back in the year 1390 is quoting Plato. Man is political by nature. That's not true. That's a pagan lie. He's more fundamental than that. But because political, what does that mean, political? Let me back up. Political is from the word polis. That's a Greek word. It means city. Man is citified by nature. That's what Plato was saying. You see how insidious this all is? The cities are destroying us in America. The only good news is people are leaving the cities. But because basically man is an animal, said Plato, well, that's not true either. He's not basically an animal. He has animal characteristics. Sure, he has lust. He has instinct. But he's got a lot more than animals got. And he says he's basically an animal. This is an Islamic man saying this. Such a social organization can exist only where they are governed by justice, of a restraining influence that keeps them from devouring one another, and civilization. What is civilization again? Citification, to be citified. Civilization results. No hint of any subjective restraining influence is given. Now, this is me talking now, not him. No appeal to the conscience of the Creator does he offer. The powers of reason and the powers that be that arise from the blessings, he says, of urbane life, city life, are the way to be civilized, he said. You know, when you hear the word civilization, don't say this is a Christian civilization. No, it isn't. There is no such thing as Christian civilization. Never has been. That means Christian citification. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is the law of God. It is the law of the land, the laws of nature unwritten. And the nature of things are common law, which is also called the law of the land. Those are synonymous terms from past centuries. The laws of nature and the laws of nature is God. Now, this is not civilization. The cradle of civilization is the Mesopotamia Valley, where Cain, the one who killed Abel, remember him? He went. He built cities. And then later on, of course, Nimrod built Babylon, became the mother of all city religion, law, and government, Babylon. Well, the powers of reason and the powers that be that arise from the blessing of urbane life, he says, are the way to be civilized, he says. Moreover, the Islamic Sultan, that's a word that means sovereign immune power. It's a Semitic word, Sultan. It's also in the Hebrew Old Testament. It's in Arabic and Hebrew, cognate languages. Sultan is emperor and viceroy of their god, like civil law rulers, such as the Pope of Rome, standing in place of heaven and wielding heaven's power on earth. The vicar. All false religions have a vicar. Beyond depending upon wearying and unrestrained aggression to keep utility, Islam, in addition, has labored to compile writings that appeal, as a common impelling standard, to the less vengeful elements of their religion. Thus, Islam has gathered its laws from among its nation's two oral collections of Islamic custom called Sunnah al-Bakkani. Sunnah al-Bakkani. Which were compiled between the years 810 and 870 AD, and the other one is Muslim, collected around 817 to 875 AD. Further, Islam has compiled the written records of these oral traditions, in writings called hadiths. See how confusing this all is? Just confusion, never-ending confusion, again, like all false religion. Then, in an effort to persuade others that these collections are from an unbroken, authentic, and therefore dependable and authoritative source, Islam has gathered chains of witnesses spanning centuries called Isnad. Well, I've been at this for 26 minutes, 27 minutes, so I'm quitting. Well, I got more to say. I didn't know I had so much, but that's something about Islam. Don't be fooled into thinking there's something nice about it. No, Islam is one of the hammers of the evil empire. They're using it to hammer Christian folk, beat them down with violence and terrorize them. Don't be terrorized by it. They're the punks. They're the evil ones. They're the useful idiots of the devils. They're the idolaters. They're the pedophiles. Oh, yeah, it's bad, very bad in Islam. Oh, it's, of course, a danger everywhere, but it's bad there. Well, that's what I found out about it, and I'm just repeating what I've discovered. This is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. And thank you, Brent. Thank you, Gerard. Bye.
We only got one person in the queue, so we're either going to have a very early night or some people got to get in with some intelligent questions, or I'm going to go to bed early. Anyway... That was pretty interesting, Brent. I enjoyed that.
My pleasure. Well, we'll do more next time. If you like it, I'll try to finish it up then.
Yeah. Okay. Some interesting points that most people never consider. Because, you know, with the public school system, you're always getting some twisted up story, you know?
Yes. Like out of context. Again, and the public school system is there to socialize your children. It's the product of John Dewey, one of the signers of the Communist Manifesto. One of the signers of the, not the manifesto, the Communist, is that what they called it? I think, no, it was called the, it was a Communist Manifesto, but I forget what the name of it was.
Yeah.
He was one of the signers, the father of American education, Tom Dewey. Now, socialization is the one that invented the word. Go ahead.
I know in my parents' time, like not when they were kids. Well, even when they were kids, I'm sure, but I remember it rolling down to even me as a child. Mm-hmm. They considered the public schools government schools, and that was considered socialism. They were not very thrilled with that.
Your parents were not?
No.
But you had said your parents were... woke up a long time ago when you were growing up.
Oh yeah, because they were part of the John Birch Society. I mean, we knew what the CFR and the was, you know, way back when. I mean, I was 12 years old and I knew what the Trilateral Commission was. Now, there's people out there today that don't know what that is, but those organizations are still in existence today.
Yeah, that's pretty phenomenal, because I think you and I are about the same age, and when I was 12 years old, I don't think I heard of the Trilateral, and I'm pretty conservative, Gerard, but I don't think I heard of the Trilateral Commission until I was running for Congress or something. I mean, it was a long...
Well, I was a bookworm, and so I read a lot. My mother gave me these books, and I would read them, so I don't know if she would have normally been talking to me about that, but I just know that I did.
Yep.
So, you know, and it might have even been some stuff around the dinner table. I don't remember, because I was so young, how exactly I got that to that knowledge. But, you know, but I knew that I knew it. Now, I don't know that if you quizzed my sisters and brothers, I don't know that they would know that. I think I took an interest in it. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, but, you know, people in general back then were way, way more awake than we are today.
Yeah, in a different way. I know what you're saying. Well, there was a lot of...
They had an innocence about them, I think.
Yeah,
they just knew that there was something wrong with the government controlling schooling when really, look, at they changed the education law to say that the state was the primary educator of the child instead of the parent. That was the beginning of the downfall.
And well, Gerard, is there anybody in the queue?
There's
no,
one.
But I would like to ask a question if I
could.
Oh,
there's somebody.
There is one person, Kevin from New York, but go ahead.
Well, they started saying that, okay, they're going to send out a team to find out information. They're not soliciting anything, and that they can ignore solicitation, no solicitors, no soliciting signs. I see it as, well, that's trespassing. And they are looking for something. They're looking for information, whether you have had a vaccine or not. Shouldn't we require a warrant with a wet ink signature for that information to go to give them if they want it?
Well, listen, you can put a sign up, no solicitation, but it's much better to put a no trespassing sign up. And then what you do, there's a sign. I ordered them online. I got to find them. They were very good. Because it spelled out who you didn't want trespassing. And it spelled out certain government officials that were there for these things that were unconstitutional. And it named them all on the sign. And it said, not for this, no federal officials. You know, you don't have jurisdiction here, because they don't. The federal government's got no business stepping on your property. You know, so I don't know why Biden thinks that he can get away with that. So I would suggest everybody puts no trespassing signs, and then in there it says, I have to get the copy of it. You know, it includes federal official, health officials, this, that, because all that stuff does not trump your unalienable rights to property. Basically, that's what it is. Because, you know, if you can't tell them get off your property, then you don't own your property, and you lose those property rights, right?
That's right.
So I wouldn't say no solicitation. I think that's too easy to get around. He could say, I wasn't soliciting. I saw smoke coming out of your roof or something. I thought your house was on fire or whatever, you know. But I think a no trespassing sign is much more powerful, you know.
But even if they get it, does it require a warrant? Should it not require a warrant?
Well, look, at when you're trespassing, they got to give you a chance to get off the property, because you could trespass by accident in a certain sense. So in other words, it isn't an absolute thing. In other words, when you find out you're trespassing, you know, if you don't have clear borders, and matter of fact, there's trespassing laws that say that if you're going to put up signs, they got to be so many feet apart, so high. Otherwise, guess what? You didn't give proper notice. You know, guy's walking through a field. How does he know he crossed onto your property if you don't have it delineated and you don't have signs up within a reasonable amount of distance for a normal person walking to see it? You know?
You know, Gerard, Donald Trump, I was thinking this just the other day because I was helping a surveyor fix the line on property and somebody wanted to build a barbed wire fence. And I got to thinking, Donald Trump got elected the presidency largely because he said, I'm going to build a fence on our property line. That's really what he said.
Yeah, good neighbor, good fence.
That's exactly what. And the surveyor said that to me. He said, well, you know, good fences make good neighbors. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking about that poem. I forget, what was that fellow's name that wrote it? A very famous New Englander. But I think it's true. Good fences do make good neighbors. And if we don't delineate the lines of our own property, respecting the government, blurring the lines between government and the private sector will destroy us. It'll destroy our freedoms, because the powerful party is not us, it's the government, and they'll then begin to take advantage, as all men do. Men will take advantage of whatever power they have. And so it's up to us to assert those lines. I think that's good advice.
Okay. Well, hold that thought. I'm gonna take Kevin and see what he says. But yeah, we may get back to this because it's a deep subject, and it's gonna be current events here very shortly. The thing that gets me is incredulous is that why do they think that they have an authority to force you to take an experimental shot? There's no forcing anybody to take any experimental anything. It's under the Nuremberg Code. It's part of natural law. It's common sense. It's common law. It's even in our laws today. They cannot force you to take anything that's experimental, and then they're breaking their own laws because under this emergency whatever act it was that they created to push this crap out without doing all the proper testing, it said that was only valid if there was no other therapeutics available. And now we know we got 6, 7, 8 different things that cure the death rate by 98%. Mm-hmm. That there's all kinds of therapeutics. They lied when they said hydroxychloroquine didn't work, and even vitamin D3. You know, it's just look at, they wanted to get us all used to having this foreign stuff put into us, this foreign DNA, so that they can see they can patent you when you take this DNA. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court has ruled that if, and I don't know when they did this, 10 years ago or something, that if you have artificial DNA that they created, in a sense they own you, because that's their patent flowing through your bloodstream. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of, but it also ties in with the mark of the beast. And in the Bible it says if you take the mark you won't go to heaven, and now I know why, because they changed your image and likeness. You're no longer created in God's image and likeness because you got a split in your DNA, and now you're becoming a transhuman, basically. And the longer it's in you, the more it changes, and the more metals that they put in the air and the more Wi-Fi they have to activate those nanobots, the more of a robot you become. And so all the science fiction movies that you've watched with the zombie apocalypse and all that, guess what? There's a thread of truth to it. They can turn that thing and make you march down the street and you don't even know what you're doing. But they will actually control you and say, go to the town something and put yourself in the jail, and you'll do it. Because they have that much mind control today. And if you think that's science fiction, You need to go research with these signs. It's in their papers. It's not hidden. It's public knowledge. They've told us everything that they plan on doing, and it's all in their archives and all in their writings and their medical papers and everything else. And this all stems back to Hitler and Nazi Germany and the whole eugenics and master race and all that. That's not dead. That's alive and well. You know? So anyway, before I get off on a big tangent where I didn't want to go, let me unmute you. And we'll see what your question is, and I'll see if I can answer it.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. John pretty much answered the question. 26th for the printing, and 27th it'll be shipped. So I'm in good condition here.
He knew you were here.
No. Yeah, I was trying to cover myself before I got on here.
It's not only you. Everybody wants to know where the dang book is.
it's great news. Fantastic.
It is, and it's a great book. And like I said before, I went off on a tangent. Everybody should be pushing that book and the other handbooks that we have, because we got 10,000 members. That's a good seed crop right there. If we could get 10,000 members activated enough to print the copy up and leave it and give it and hand it and just leave it on a bus benches or whatever, you'd be surprised what will happen.
Yeah. Okay, good enough. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Kev. Okay, we got... Oh, I don't know if I lost somebody or what. Did I open Jim from PA up? Jim, can you hear me?
Yeah, Gerard, the comment about putting up a no trespassing sign or no soliciting, I'm in the process right now gathering signatures run for the school board, local school board. And I have to knock on, and I don't go property that has no trespassing or no soliciting, new dot enter, because I know those people do not want people on their property. So if everybody had a no trespassing or no, you know, no sign up, I would not be in a complete process to run for office.
Well, the no trespassing signs that my buddy got offline were very specific, so that it would allow the mailman to come in and leave your mail, or the guy that needed a signature for the precinct voting. It didn't. It had language in it that allowed that, because I don't know. Well, I guess if you're getting signatures for a precinct vote, that's kind of a solicitation, is it not? But it didn't say no solicitation. You see, that's the difference.
I understand that. In my mind, somebody that puts up a sign like that wants somebody knocking on their door. That's my understanding.
Well, I don't want people knocking on my door either. You know? And I don't know. I mean, you're right. How are you supposed to do these things that are civilized, civil society requires a certain amount of rubbing shoulders or bumping elbows or whatever you want to call it, right? I mean, my goodness, the Fuller Brush Man, we would have put him out of business, you know, right? That was a big business way back when, in the cities. So I don't know what you make a good point. I don't know what the answer to that is. That's something that maybe we need to investigate. And I do know, as a matter of fact, I should probably get a copy of this, the no trespassing signs, because it was very specific about, mainly it identified federal stuff more than local stuff. You know what I mean? So... You know, our biggest problem in America is the federal government taking states' rights away. You know, because think about it. You know, that federal agency really doesn't have a lot of authority. They shouldn't have, like the EPA and all these, although they think that they're above every law. Fact of the matter is the sheriff is above them. And that's why we got to get these books out so that we could put things back in the proper order. So, you know, this whole vaccination thing, it's basically a federal program. It was administered on the federal end of the government through the governors and stuff, right? So basically they're federal officials. Now, if the county is partnering with them and they're going to use county enforcers, now you're blurring the lines. I don't know, you know. I mean, I don't know if there's language in there that says for any federal programs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Like I said, I just wanted to comment that, you know, don't go on people's property. I'm a property guy. But I got the run for office, and it's difficult.
It is difficult. But, you know, I think it's harder in a rural area than like in the cities. You know what I mean? In the suburbs where people are living closer together and they're used to people walking in front of their houses on the sidewalks. You don't have a lot of separation between the street and the house, you know, and I don't think people get as upset as country people do that bought property and put fences up and delineated their lines, you know. So I don't know. You know, the fact that you live in a city means that you're okay with living on top of somebody, so to speak, where the country folk are not necessarily comfortable with that kind of life, you know? So, I don't know. Seems. I mean, what about the census takers? I chase them all the time. You know, but they come in, and the census, look at the census was, you know, done in the Bible. You know?
In the Constitution, there shall be a census.
Right. So you can't say no census takers because that would be unconstitutional, right?
That's what it looks, sounds like, yeah.
So I don't know. You know what? That's something that we need to research, and probably we should do it soon because these are going to be issues that are of the day, I guess you could say. You know,
George, I wonder if you would take another question. I did not listen early when the program started today, but I had sent it in to Jan. I don't know if he read it or not, but I wonder if I could run it by you to see if he.
Go ahead.
Okay, so how do you get a state court to issue a writ of mandamus to a county board of elections to perform a forensic audit?
John did answer that, and John said, I wouldn't go there because we got all these actions that the president's doing and the counties are doing and the states are doing, and so it's like you're mucking up the works kind of because they're already on it. You know what I mean? They're already going through all these counties, and they're actually going through them in the swing states mainly, you know, for because of the electoral college vote states, you know, the states that they needed necessarily to capture in order to win the presidency. So he doesn't, you know, his thing was is like, look, they're already going in the most important places. Why would you? I mean, I understand why you would want to do it locally anyway, but I think all these bigger ones that are going to become under the spotlight are going to fix the smaller ones, because let's face it, that Dominion machine, it went from the bottom to the top. So when you bust a Dominion machine, you're going to bust it all the way through the system. They're not going to use it anymore. We need to get back to paper ballots. That's the long and the short of it. So to go in with a mandamus and do all that stuff, you're kind of reinventing the wheel because they're already on it. They're already doing it. I mean, if you got a real corrupt county and nobody's working on it, I could see that you would do it. But the thing is I don't know that you need the federal court. I mean, you should see, if we had lawful sheriffs that understood the Constitution, you wouldn't have to go any further than that. That's as far as you would have to go. It could be done on a local level. But you see, in Maricopa County, what happened? George Soros paid something like, I think it was $2 million to get that sheriff in office. Why do you think he did that? Because he knew that that was the guy that could muck up his whole works. If they had a constitutional sheriff there, it wouldn't have got that far, you know? Because they would have stopped it in mid-vote. They would have been pulling them machines out. But, of course, it didn't happen. And, of course, everybody failed. Congress failed, the vice president failed, the Supreme Court failed, the whole country fell down, and that's just because of the condition of our faith and morals in this country, and that was our punishment, basically, I think. Because if everything was working right, all those steps that Donald Trump took, and he did that purposely, make no mistake about it. He went through each separate stage of that so that all those people could indict themselves basically by their actions, by not doing their job. Pence and all these other ones and the Supreme Court, you know, he had to let them break the law. I mean, they got goods on all these people. You don't get in those positions unless they own you. So everybody thought Amy Coney Barrett was a good woman. Guess what? She's part, her family, they're part of that New World Order thing. I was very disappointed in her. And believe me, they would never let somebody sit on that Supreme Court unless they knew that they could control them ultimately. And that's one of the reasons I think they took I believe they took out Scalia because he was not controlled by them. And ultimately, you know, if they can't control you, that's the other thing they do. They kill you, you know?
So well, I understand what you're saying. I just don't know that for sure, but I pray you're wrong. But anyways, hey, let me put a different approach to this question I had,
mm-hmm.
a different context. And I'm talking about a state court.
Mm-hmm.
Court, how do you get them to issue any mandamus or order to a lower court? I mean, do they have to do that on their own, or can you petition a state higher court?
I think you can always petition any court if you had. Of course, they're gonna look to see if you have standing. That's their favorite thing. And don't forget, when you come in with this idea, all those people in those upper courts, they're all part of the problem. You don't think they're going to let you run in there and file papers if it's going to upset their system, and you're going to end up taking them out of office. Don't forget, what's the old saying in the service, that crap runs downhill? And basically, if you got a corrupt, you know, you got a corrupt county officials and corrupt judges, and as you go up, they're corrupt and they're more corrupt. There's this whole pecking order of thievery and corruption going on. And in a certain sense, in my experience, the counties are a lot of times are dirtier than the federal government, because they've been entrenched so long. They got control of all the eyes. They've taken over those positions that were supposed to be put there to watch them. And they've put their relatives and their friends, and for years and years, they basically usurped and got, you know, when they say power corrupts, absolute power absolutely corrupts, that's what you have on the county levels. That's why this nation is so close to falling right now. So for you to go through and get an order that to push something through that they just spent 100 years putting that system in, and believe me, they didn't just put it in on the county level. They made sure that every level was in there. So unless you got a whole, we see what works. So there's something that happened today. Where was it? I don't know if it was England or someplace. It was in America here. They wanted to do something with the COVID, and all the people got up in arms and said, no, we're not going to do it. And they said, oh, we've changed our mind to CDC because of the outcry. So it proves, what that proves is that if enough people get up and cry out, that's the one thing they fear. They fear the people rising up. And that's what we've lost. That, you know, they say, oh, they'll never do it. They'll never amass. People are pissed off right now. And so they are rising up. This whole critical race thing, some of the most patriotic speeches I've heard are parents coming in there, black, white, yellow, saying, this is bull crap and we will not stand for it. It's crumbling every day. Of course, you know, the regular mainstream media is not going to tell you about that because they don't want this narrative that goes against their narrative. So they don't like to report on it. And thank God we have alternative media, or we wouldn't even know about it. You know.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but let me just comment about this CRT, this critical race theory thing.
Mm-hmm.
A attorney from our political party had commented that the general in the Joint Chiefs of Staff for the military is going to teach that to the military now. Did you hear that one?
I heard it, but I don't think it's going to fly.
Okay,
they are just so arrogant, and they're besides themselves. the last curtain is coming down, and these guys are desperately trying to finish their plan. They had this plan that they've been working on for over 100 years, and it was almost that culmination, and they could taste it. And you know, you wouldn't normally think that there's generals in on this, but there absolutely is. There's corrupt generals. And when Obama was in there, what do you think he was doing? He was firing all the good generals. Anybody that was a little bit conservative, he got rid of them. He found a reason to fire them. Oh, they were drinking, they were doing this, they were doing that, you know. And they just look for any penny, any reason. And most of those generals he fired, they were in the, you know, they had to do with the nuclear arsenal and stuff like that. He made sure that they took those top generals out because, let's face it, that's our last line of defense. And thank God we got enough up there that, you know, at least in, I don't know if it was the National Security Agency or something, we have enough patriotic, constituted of people that understand the Constitution that have pushed back with Donald Trump. And look, at I don't kiss the ground that Trump walks on because there's still some things that he does that I don't agree with. I don't know why he keeps touting this stupid vaccine that's killing people, and he's like, oh, well, you saved the country. And basically that vaccine, and I'm going to go off on a tangent, that is the bioweapon. There is no such thing as coronavirus. Well, no, the coronavirus is definitely man-made. They got a big expose out this week. That lawyer that sued Volkswagen and Deutsche Bank, he's now on this whole corona thing, and he's got this guy, Dr. Martin, who does forensic analysis. And they got all the paperwork that shows that this thing, he blew the whistle on this 20 years ago. This whole pandemic thing has been in the work for 20 years. So consequently, Pfizer, Moderna, all these companies, they were making the vaccine for the pandemic before the pandemic was even here. How do you make a vaccine for something that's a pandemic when before it even gets here? And the dates of the patent prove that. It proves collusion, it proves RICO, it proves treason. That was this week. I don't know if you missed it, but there's a very, very good video out that outlines that all. But look, I got to move because it's getting late, and we got three or four other people in there, so I want to give them a chance.
Roy, one last comment. I'll be very brief. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned mostly that whether it was planned or not, that people fell for it. Totally. They shut practically the whole world down with this.
Let me tell you something. The coronavirus has been around, but it was produced in a lab with Fauci, and it started with the AIDS thing. And it's been since the 90s, the early 90s, and into 2000 is when this whole thing took place, and Anthony Fauci is a big one in there, and Bill Gates and all of them with their big companies. But they've been teaching people to, everything's a conspiracy theory. And the news, the mainstream media, is a programming tool. Why do you think they call it programming? Because that's exactly what they did. People think if it comes out on the news, it's true, and they don't look any further. And basically, that's what it was. Now, if people were taught to think, if they taught critical thinking in our public schools the way they used to, even with the programming that they have, they would have known that that this thing didn't make common sense. A lot of what they were doing was the emperor has no clothes. It didn't make any sense. All their little methodologies of things that we already know with the germ theory and the virus stuff and all that, that those masks were not effective. They did mask studies back in the 1919 flu, and when they started wearing masks, they had a 1,500% increase in cases. This is all old knowledge that they hid. And the thing that made it possible, I'm going to tell you right now, is the fact that they got everything on digital media, and they go in. This is 1984. Remember, I don't know if you ever read George Orwell's 1984, but they had a Ministry of Truth, and what their job was to go back and correct the news every day, so that when it was wrong, they would change it. And that's exactly what they do right now. And now they don't have to worry about writing it. They can do it with a push of a button. So when you do your Google searches, that's where they're brainwashing you, because they're giving you bullshit, okay? That's what's going on, okay?
Good night.
Good night. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm going to open Greg up. Greg from Michigan.
Hey, Gerard. Listen, hey. One thing nobody's mentioned, talking about these solicitors that we expect to show up at our doors here, and I guess it's already started in some states. I read about it yesterday, you know, trying to find out if you've taken the vax, tell you you need to take the vax, all that. Look, nobody seems to recall about HIPAA laws. Now, I sell health insurance for a living, and I've had HIPAA laws drilled into me for years and had to take, I've had to sign oaths.
And that's how you shut them up. First thing, are you asking me about my personal health records?
Right.
End of discussion. Exactly. It's so easy. It's so easy.
Right.
They didn't take that law off the books.
No. Oh, HIPAA is in the insurance industry, and that, you know,
That's what I was getting into before. This is an experimental vaccine. They cannot require it based on the own law that they put in to put it out there. It's an emergency. It's only for an emergency, which is not an emergency anymore. Guess what? Did you know that we had no influenza cases last year?
Yeah, I'm aware
of that. They cured influenza. They turned it into COVID.
There's all kinds of strange things going on with this. But these solicitors and the government managers behind them, they know, you know, all this relies on the ignorance of the American people. It's totally dependent on that. But just
that's
about every
right. And the fact that you don't have a constitutional sheriff. Because if you had a constitutional sheriff, when they came in to go door to door, he would say, listen, don't you dare. You don't have the jurisdiction or the authority to do that, and you're violating HIPAA, and they're violating any number of a bunch of stuff.
Right, and you know, the Nuremberg codes state very emphatically that no one can be forced to participate in any experimental medical procedure. They've always said it's experimental. They still acknowledge the vaccine, as it's called, which, you know, as you've said,
and
many
it's not
times,
a vaccine.
It's not a vaccine, right?
Right.
It's obviously experimental gene therapy, no one is to be forced to participate. It cannot put the participant in danger. It cannot put them in.
Well, this is how stupid the employers are, because even though Pfizer and Moderna and stuff are covered under that statute, whatever it is, that gives them immunity from lawsuits, guess who's not?
Somebody that tries to force you to take the vaccine.
The employer. If he says it's a condition of employment and something bad happens to you, guess who's liable? He is. And they've already ruled that. They've already ruled that. So how stupid are these employers?
You can ask, but they're just hoping for stupidity, and they want to intimidate and coerce the employees. Regarding these employers, in my opinion, and this is just my theory, but I don't think that it's really so far-fetched, I really believe that these employers and these other institution heads and these corporate CEOs that are demanding that people who shop or do business with their companies as consumers show proof of vaccination, and people who travel at their location or on their cruise ship or on their planes or whatever, be vaccinated or work at their company, be vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I strongly suspect and just really do believe these people, a lot of them, are Freemasons.
It's not only that. They're getting paid. Do you understand? That the pharmacist is making $6,700 a week extra to push these vaccines.
I read a while ago that the nurses that CVS, for example, is sending out to vax, mainly children and old people, are getting $6,500 a week pay. Who in the heck pays somebody $6,500? I mean, $6,500 a month, that's good money. $6,500 a week, that's outrageous. Why are they doing that?
Because they know that there's death and destruction. And let me tell you what, the cat is out of the bag. This is such a bunch of baloney. It's all smoke and mirrors, because with a little bit of common sense, it's all going to go away. There are places out in California and different places, there's a couple gym owners and stuff, they found out that this spike protein is transferring out of the vaccine to people that haven't been vaccinated. And the one guy owned a gym, and he called an insurance company, and now he's got signs up that says that if you're vaccinated, you're not allowed on his premises. So it's the exact,
right.
Never mind, show me your vaccination. It's like, if you got it, you can't come in here. So now it's the exact opposite of what we thought it was going to be. They've created a leper class of people. And I don't know if you realize it, but the head I think it was Pfizer, the ex-CEO, he said all these people, they got less than 3 years to live.
Right.
When that wild flu comes back through, they're going to get a cytostorm and they're all going to die. And what do you think is going to happen when that starts happening? What do you think
the
people are going to do?
And everybody needs another.
Yeah, they're going to say it's a new strain, but they've already, this guy Martin and that Deutsche lawyer there have proved that it was never a strain to begin with, and that it was created in a lab, and that the spike protein and their RNA shot is actually the Trojan horse. It is the bioweapon.
Well, yeah. Well, look, I just saw a video, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but he's pretty sharp. Interviewed a doctor recently who had a sample of the vaccine studied at an independent lab, mm-hmm. and the results came back and said that. That the vax, it was the Pfizer vax they analyzed, and they were saying what they found was it was less than 1% mRNA and more than 99% something called graphene oxide. And graphene oxide apparently is a toxin that attacks your body's organs, your internal organs, and it's a slow kill thing. And she showed some of this graphene oxide under a microscope, and it's these weird, irregularly shaped molecules with these gray, cloudy strands, almost like spider web-looking stuff through it. And, graphene oxide is supposed to be 99%, at least according to that one report. There's a guy named Stu something. I'm trying to remember his last
name. I did hear about graphene oxide. I don't remember who it was. I actually heard the blurb
on
that.
It was on Rumble. Was on Rumble.
Yeah, I didn't watch the video, but I saw that somebody was talking about it. I did catch a blurb on it. I didn't quite watch the video, though. But that's not all they have in them. It depends on the brand that you're getting. A lot of them are killing people instantly because they're allergic, they're sensitive to, I don't remember if it was ethylene or propylene glycol, a lot of the anaphylactic stuff.
By the way.
Right, that's what it is, no doubt. And some people are having anaphylactic shock and it's killing them, you know, right away within the first couple of days. That graphene, like you said, that's a slow kill process that you suffer. And you're immune, and it's basically giving you like an autoimmune disease. Look at that whole theory, that whole spike protein thing, that we're going to put this stuff in you, and you're going to make a antibody against this protein that we told your DNA to make this protein, and then your body's going to make an antibody against it. You know what that is? That's autoimmune disease. Anytime your body has to make an antibody against a protein that your DNA makes, that's a dysfunctional immune system. because you've got your body fighting your body. That's leukemia. That's cancer, basically. So, I mean, I know this, and I'm a dummy. Okay? It's, you know.
Well, most people are not looking into this at all, and these poor people that had to jump on the bandwagon right away and take that back as soon as they could. I mean, I really feel sorry for them, you know.
But now, I told people.
I've been trying to tell people for months, and a
then
lot
they
of
took them anyway.
After, anyway.
Oh well, I want to see my grandkids, and I want to. Do you even know what you're saying? I mean, are you stupid? Anyway, I don't want to get into all that, but basically, it's very sad. And within the next 3 years, I mean, now I'm hearing that there are things that you can do to counteract it, and I think the longer you can forestall that cytostorm from coming by using pine needle tea and ascorbic acid, which comes out of
Cashmic
acid that comes from fennel seeds and different things like that.
And star anise has the highest concentration, and you can take all of these things just for anybody listening that's interested, which hopefully people are. You can take all of these things, star anise, fennel seeds, the white or red pine needle leaves, which you can buy on, or needles, pine tree needles, you can buy all that online. I just had a bunch of star anise delivered to me, and I drink
pine needle tea every day.
You use an espresso machine for the best extraction. That's according to Mike Adams of Brighton.
Well, he used an espresso machine on the grapefruit and lemon rinds because that produces hydroxychloroquine. In the espresso machine, it happens quickly. You know, otherwise, you got to boil them for 3 hours to get that
and
stuff
that,
out.
And that is cashmic acid that mm-hmm. Mike Adams wrote about in his Natural News website.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah,
that stuff is the main ingredient in Tamiflu.
Right. Imagine that.
The main ingredient in Tamiflu, which was so popular. Of course, they probably banned it now. But, yeah, this is all a bunch of bull, man. And these people – oh, and I saw a video the other day I sent around. I might have sent it to you and John. I've sent you guys a number of things. It showed police with people in nurse uniforms and things chasing people down in – I forget, one was, I think, an African country, and one was India.
South Africa.
And injecting them, holding people down. One guy, they held him down on a rooftop, man. He got up on the roof of his house trying to flee from these people, and they got him down right on his rooftop and injected him there.
Oh, that's why you need a militia. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, my point is, it's happening elsewhere from what I just saw, and I hope and pray to God it doesn't happen here, but we can't trust these people.
No,
Mike Adams says they're gonna do a plan. Mike Adams just released this the other day. You know Mike Adams, I assume.
Yes, I do.
He said that he's got word from what he thinks is reliable sources where they are going to do some false flag as an excuse to grab people's guns soon this summer, and they're going to do a thing where they're going to show up at people's houses looking for the unvaxxed, the vaccine hesitant, as they call them, that own guns. And if you also own guns when they show up about the vaccine, Adam says they've got orders just to shoot and kill you, and they're going to make up some story that it was self-defense, and they're going to get rid of gun owners in their homes, claiming that
we outnumbered them 700-1, and we have more guns than they have. Now, we don't have the high-tech stuff, but it doesn't matter. It's the low-tech that's going to win the war. The first six or seven houses that they do, it's the end of story. I'm telling you right now. There are militias out there right now that I know of. They're not going to stand a chance with that shit. They're going to create a 100 years war, first of all, because they're going to get real bloody. And let me tell you what, the way you shorten that war is you go after those leaders that put this in. Never mind the stupid foot soldiers. You send teams out to kill the politicians that created this problem so that they can't show their faces anywhere. And that's what's going to happen. They're not going to be able to walk down the street. There are so many guns in this country, you have no idea. And ammo, and the little tiny 22 is the one they fear the most. Because you can walk up behind them and stick it against their back of their head and pull the trigger and walk away like nothing happened. Nobody even hears the shot. So, anyway, I don't want to get into all that, but there are solutions to this stuff.
I just hope that the American people have the guts that they need to.
Listen, let me tell you what. You know how many people that know about guns and that are just chomping at the bit to fight, but you know that's not where we want to go because you never get your freedom back when you have to fight like that. You're never going to get it back to the extent that you lost it. And what will happen is you'll have the balkanization of America. You'll have free states and you'll have slave states. And it'll break out along the lines of whatever. I don't know. I don't even want to go there. But I guarantee you that it's not going to be a cakewalk.
And I need to get out of Michigan and away from Gretchen Whitmer.
Let's just get Gretchen out of there. Gretchen's ready to go. She's going to hang, I'm telling you right now.
I hope you're right. But
she's
going to
hang. If we do it any other way, we're stupid. We got enough evidence on her. She's treasonous.
Her and Dana Nessel are trying to sue Sidney Powell and what's his name? William DiPerno, the attorney that's doing Antrim County in Michigan.
They're launching lawsuits
against them.
It doesn't mean a thing. It's not going to go anywhere. They're not going to do it because what's going to happen is the military is going to step in my mind.
I've been hearing that, and I'm all for it, but I've been...
The military can't come in and do that till the last minute, and they're doing it right now. You're not hearing about it. There's teams going around right now, hit teams, and they're taking people out right now. They're not going to tell. You think that CNBC is going to get up there and say, yeah, they did this,
no,
and they got
obviously,
this guy?
Obviously not, especially not now.
What happens when they take them out? They get a mask and they get a body double and they have some guy pretend that he's him until they get done taking the rest of them out so they don't panic. That's what's going on right now.
I've heard about that. I've heard those things.
And if you think about it, that's a good idea.
We know. We hear these rumors, but I want to see some.
Did you see that film of Biden talking and the mask at his neck was opening up? They got these masks. He's really good masking, but yet, you know, they you got to tuck them under your shirt, and he didn't have to think.
I didn't see that.
I saw the video.
Somebody said James Woods is playing him. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But I'm telling you, these guys are not above. And the thing is it the white hats or is it the black hats? That's what you don't know. Because if they took Biden out, they wouldn't want you to know because all these people would revolt, these Black Lives Matter and this and that. It's better to do it silently, right? Anyway, I got to move on. We got Marge from North Carolina.
Check your email, and I included a sign to put on your door about no trespassing regarding talking about the vaccine. So look for that.
I'll look for that. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Gerard. All righty. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye. Marge, sorry I took so long.
Hey there, Gerard. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to mention something to you. Check this out if you haven't. It's on YouTube. It tells you really the truth, what's going on. Patriots News 247 on YouTube. Tells you what's
Patriots,
going on.
I have a radio show on Patriots Soapbox 24/7. Is that different?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. So Patriots.
Try that now if you can. Yeah. Patriots News 247 on YouTube.
Okay. Right.
And you'll see it come up. All what's happening. 37 governors. It's a Gitmo.
No, I got a lot of information on a lot of stuff. It's crazy. I can't keep up with it all. But you gotta pick an alternative news source, and you pick through two or three or four or five of them, and you pick the ones that are most accurate. And what you do is you look at them all, and you'll find the thread of truth that runs through them. And you can pretty much figure out where we are, because they these guys can't put everything out because it's national security, and they're not allowed. So they put a little bit out here and a little bit out there, and people think that that's just, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. No. There's so much stuff coming out right now, and much of this stuff is verifiable through their own papers that they've filed, and the patents and the different things that are in the public domain. And of course, once people start figuring it out and they go there, then they remove it. I did find an article that I ran. You know, I was a big 9/11. I did a lot of investigation. And back when it first happened, there was, I forget his name, Snake Pixon or something, and he wrote an article, and it was called Flight of the Bumble Planes. And I didn't think it would ever still be up, because this is, when that was 2000, 2002 or something like that, right? 9/11. And I went looking for it, and they had a lot of people that were commenting on it, saying, oh, this was the theory, this and that. But I did find it. I did find that original article. It's still up there, which is amazing, that talks about how they did it and how the planes flew below the radar, and they ghosted a plane and they landed it at a military base, and then they made everybody get off, and they put them all on Flight 93 or something like that. But anyway, it was a very good scenario that kind of explains what really went on. And that was something that it's been there since 2000, but they've managed to keep it quiet. It's starting to come out today. Somebody must have had the thing on from the Wayback Machine or whatever, because every other place I went to get it, it was gone. It was gone, gone, gone. And then I found the site where it was out there. So what happens is you got good people out there that are downloading this stuff and saving it to their hard drives, and then every now and then they put it back out there, so it's very hard for them to get it off the internet. That's one of the keyboard warrior things that we should be doing. We should be taking these sites, we should be downloading them, and then every now and then sticking them back out on social media. It drives them crazy. Drives them crazy. They're losing control. Telegram is another good one.
That's what I mean.
There's so much stuff on Telegram, I don't know how you keep up.
Censored. But all of this is going away, but he's suing him now, YouTube, and with an action lawsuit, Trump is, with YouTube, Twitter.
That's nice that he's trying to sue them, but I don't know if you know Chris Ann Hall. If you listen to her, Chris Ann Hall says, how can you go beg the Supreme Court that is the one that is the problem and think you're going to fix it? It's not going to happen. Now, Trump is just doing it to bring the awareness up, but ultimately it's going to go into a Nuremberg-style court in Gitmo or stuff. They're not going to do it in the Supreme Court. It's impossible. John and I have been in these courts, and NLA, we have listened to what the judges does. Were you on the calls when John was fighting the judge with the IRS stuff?
Yes.
And that? That's how they all are. That wasn't anything that was special or unusual. That's the way they conduct themselves. So do you think you're going to get anything done? No, the only way you're going to get anything done is if you get enough sheriffs to finally come in and say, that's it, Your Honor, you're under arrest, get off the bench. That's it. It has to be all the people getting together and saying, we're tired of your crap. That's it. We're doing an arrest.
Right. And that's what's going to happen. Yeah, all those people are going to go away.
They're going to go, exactly. They have to go.
Get new people in there.
I don't know.
We're going back to Tesla. We're going back to the that
free electric and all that stuff. I can hardly wait.
Yeah, it's free.
I don't even want to think about it because it's too much of a.
It's going to happen. It's all,
I know. Look, I've been working in my own stuff on all
it's
this.
Wireless is coming back. The wireless. But I thought, wait a minute. I thought, well, what about? Can we still use the cell phones that we have? You know, or will we have to get new? Or will it? Will use satellite
phones?
I think it'll work.
No. I don't think it's going to be that different as far as cell phones go.
Wireless technology and free technology.
The electricity is going to be wireless and free, but you see, that's different. That's out of the magnetism of the Earth. When Tesla made a Tesla coil, that's got nothing to do with communication. Well, I guess you could use it for communication. That's for people above my pay grade to figure out, because I'm sure that there is communication applications.
On Venus, yeah.
Out from that. But basically, he's grabbing out of the ground and out of the air. It's almost like static electricity that makes lightning, and he's harnessing it. So
right. Like from the electromagnetic spectrum.
Exactly, right.
So, and everything's going to be quantum. That's what our money system's going to be, too. Quantum voting, quantum blockchain, quantum... everything. Quantum internet. We're not going to have, they say, Microsoft anymore, you know, or that. Everything's going to be quantum, and we'll be changing over to that. We have to make it new, the internet, so it's going to be on a quantum system. And they say Trump will, you know, maybe come back August 13th, which is a Friday.
Well,
that's what what did I call it? What did I say? Patriots News 247.
Mm-hmm. John listens to a station that's pretty good, too, that's pretty up like that. I think it's called, what's it called? I can't remember. He ran the video last week. We had it on, and he went through it. What was that called? I don't know what Terry just sent me. My glasses on.
Okay.
But anyway, let me go. I got two more people. We're getting late.
Okay. One other thing. Have you ever been on the Liberty, not the Liberty Beacon, but the Liberty something show?
Well, we did do the Liberty Beacon. John and I have been interviewed.
This is another Liberty show. It's real big.
I don't know.
Name some other. Liberty.
Oh, there's so many of them. I don't know. Liberty. I can't think of I know that we were on the Liberty Beacon, but I don't know any other Liberty we were on, although that doesn't mean that we weren't.
Because that would be, it's a big one. Do you think that would be good to get back on?
We go back on any show, any time that they want to interview, we would do it. That's why John's saying, we need other people to approach them. We can't, plus it's better if somebody else asks them than if we go there and say, hey, will you interview us? That's more tacky, if you know what I mean. We need other people to say, hey, you got these guys over here that do a program every Monday night and blah, blah, blah. It just makes more sense to have, or I'm a member of this, and you should interview the founders and something like that, and send them to the website so that they can. But John and I, either both of us or one of us, will always make time to interview. Hopefully they're bigger because, you want to maximize your time. You know what I'm saying? In other words,
right.
We don't want to do a bunch of small shows that don't go anywhere. So not to say we wouldn't, but. Certainly we're going to take the more popular ones first at getting the word out. So if you know of any show that we were on or that we could be on, you need to get the information and give it to us because we will do it.
Okay. This is a big one. Liberty something rather, and we want to try to, they would want to try to impeach, I'm from North Carolina, Roy Cooper. You can't recall him here in the state. You have to impeach. Impeaching here.
Right. Or indict him. because he's probably done so many crimes.
Wait a minute. Impeach. I think that's the proper word.
Well, you can impeach him too, but indictment means criminal charges. Impeachment doesn't necessarily mean criminal, I don't think. You can get impeached for a you can have a criminal impeachment too, but you know, indicting means that you're gonna level criminal charges at them, which should not be too hard. Most of them are like got multiple felonies on them. There, you know.
Yeah, but then you have this somebody at the House Assembly. Yeah, he blocks everything. You know, he works in he's in the House. I'm going to look him up, but I got that from that Liberty something or other show, and he just can't get anywhere because he blocks things from the our North Carolina Assembly in Raleigh, North Carolina.
That's political, though. I mean, look at all you need is a sheriff to arrest him for one of his crimes. he's probably trafficked cigarettes across borders. You don't even know he's breaking the law. You know what I mean? Something, you know what I'm saying? If they want to get you, they can get you.
Right. And just one other thing, they also say that, you know, you listen to all this stuff, but I don't know. I don't think that's true. But now it is. It's coming out. Trump and Kennedy Jr. He faked his death. You know.
Yeah, I've heard that. Well,
Elvis Presley.
I guess we'll find out.
Carolyn Biscott.
I don't worry about that stuff too much because I figured it'll come up. You know.
It will. He wants to get back at his father. You know, his father's in the CIA blue.
Right.
So it's all gonna come out.
Yeah. It can't happen soon enough. Where our tongues are hanging out here waiting. But anyway, let me go. I got a few minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you,
Mark.
Thank you, Gerard.
Okay. You're welcome. Barbara from New York. Go ahead.
Hi, Gerard. Thank you, Barbara from New York. I just have two little questions from things that you said. Regarding the liability regarding the vaccine. You know, wasn't there something about if you ask somebody about some condition you have? Oh, no, that's under the...
That's HIPAA. That's HIPAA, and that is valid. Oh. They can't ask you if you've been vaccinated. It's none of their business. It's like a $50,000 or a $30,000 fine when they do it.
Really?
I don't know why people are such sheep. We don't have to put up with any of this crap.
Okay. That's very important. That's useful. So that's not American Disabilities Act. That's HIPAA. It's somewhere between like a $30,000 to a $50,000.
Yeah, right.
Revealing
their medical records or whatever.
Okay.
So, and the other thing is, it's experimental. It's against the Nuremberg code, and numerous other codes. They can't force you to take to take an experimental vaccine. And now that we know that there's therapeutics, they need to stop it. And not only that, it's a bioweapon, and it's killing people. They need to pull it off the market, all three of them, because they're all killing people.
They're approaching, theirs is approaching 9,000 deaths, and what was it?
It's way more than what they're saying. Way more.
My son has going back as a senior, and the college president keeps on and on like it's his vaccine, and he acts as if he has no liability whatsoever. And so I looked it up. I thought, you know, what's going on with this? Like, he acts like he's, you know, not in any type of vulnerable position. In March 2020, there was this H.R. 6201, and it expanded the liability that the pharmaceutical companies had for the vaccines for injury, death, and other losses, such as emotional losses. It expanded it to anybody that had anything to do with...
You want to... Look, you want to scare him? You give him,
yeah, I want to share exactly,
you do
exactly
what that guy was doing with the electric companies when they wanted to put smart meters, what was his name, that we were going to work with, and he was giving notices of liability. You give him a notice of liability.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking of that. Okay, notice of liability. And
notice of liability. I can't think of it. I feel embarrassed. I
know. I can see his face.
Yeah, there was two guys, very good, very smart. I don't know why we dropped the ball with them, but we did. So much crap happened that we didn't produce.
Or something like that.
Yeah, Cal. Yeah. That's right, Cal.
Cal.
And the other guy. What was the other guy's name? Nope. I don't know, but you know what? We should hook back up with them.
Cal. Oh yeah. There's somebody. Saul. Let's see. Somebody spinned off into another organization, which is really excellent, and he worked with that guy. But you know,
well, we should be sending all these schools and all these corporations that are insisting that people get vaccinated. We should be sending them all notices of liability. That would shut them right up.
Yeah, American Frontline Doctors, they have a notice of liability just for being a university and mandating this injection. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. I didn't look at theirs. I know about them because my daughter went on and got a prescription from them because they're doing phone consults. Yeah, and they're doing ivermectin. They're doing everything. But anyway,
doing ivermectin too. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she got both. No, they're doing whatever works.
Okay.
Well, look, you got Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and you got Lee Merritt. Yeah. You got the best of the best there.
Yeah.
And they're calling them conspiracy theorists, these premier doctors with more degrees than anything. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Now, do I need, in order to, they say that the only defense, your only way to get these people is through willful misconduct. I don't know if that applies to a school administrator, too, but if he signs a notice of liability, doesn't he have... doesn't he have an understanding? Isn't he acknowledging the risk? Doesn't that put him in the situation of liability?
Yeah, if you send him a notice of liability, absolutely, he can't feign ignorance.
Do I need some proof that he received it?
No, well, you serve him a notice of liability the same way you would serve him papers to go to court. You send him a notarized,
notarized
the sheriff to stand to serve it or some other party. You can't serve it yourself. You need a third party to serve it. You could send it registered mail. That's good too.
Okay, registered mail. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Why not? He has to sign for it.
Okay. Yeah, it's.
And I'm glad you brought that up because it made a whole different wrinkle here that we should be preaching to people that they need to use these tools that are available, and that is definitely a very powerful one right there. Because Washington or whatever his name is, they've had officials and CEOs step down after they got their notice of liability.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they knew that they were like in the crosshairs.
He's in a group called Empowerment now. Empowerment.
I do know Empowerment. That's very familiar.
Yeah. I actually did a open webinar and I think he was there. He was. And I like him. He's really good. Everybody in that group is good. Let's see. Okay, so registered mail. I got to shake him up. I was.
Or just go down to the sheriff's office and pay him $30 and the sheriff will serve him. That sometimes that even upsets them more.
Okay. Yeah,
because the sheriff has no choice. He's got to do it.
If you ask the sheriff?
Yeah, they got a form and you pay them. And then when it gets done, they send you the paper, signed paper that he was served.
Yeah, my son got a religious exemption, but they're going to make him do lots of tests, which I feel are physically questionable. That there's something there, and it would hurt him. And it just the fact that it might hurt him, it's absolutely wrong. And the fact that it's been proven as it cannot determine whether you have a real infection or not, an active infection. So it's just, why should my son have to cooperate with the fraudulent test? It's awful. And also, they're going to do the test for the unvaccinated, and I think they're going to send them home. And they say, we have to sign this thing that said that we take all financial responsibility, which means they're going to keep our tuition. I mean, it's so malicious what they've got going. I was trying to think this through. It's like, this crap act, and they took the liability, and they...
Listen, what I was going to say is that if you do Cal's methodology, he uses a common law process. So under common law, you make the notice, and you make it three times. In other words, you have to give them a chance to correct.
I remember that. I actually
when you do that. So you can't just send them a notice of liability and say, oh, okay, you didn't. The only way you're going to get rid of the way with that is, like, let's say your son took the vaccine and something terrible happened to him. And then you don't need three times. Now he's liable just because he did it. You know what I'm saying? In other words, your son doesn't have any damage. He's just putting him at risk.
Well, I studied it with this other guy through, I don't know if it was Empowerment or if it's a similar one. They say that, like with the EMS, if they just tell you that they're planning on putting one on your yard, they're already guilty of assault, because assault is just creating fear,
mm-hmm.
and you're good to go as soon as they tell you that they're planning on doing something.
And I think this is the same, because look at he. I'm sure that he sent a notice out himself and he put it in writing, so he can't deny it. And if he's the one that's if the buck stops with him, he's responsible. Uh-huh. He's administering it, so he's responsible. And you're right; it's causing all kinds of problems with people, mental,
just
physical,
text,
spiritual.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No. It's caused me so much anguish.
Mental anguish.
Absolutely. It's already assault, and assault is a tort, and done it. It's done. I was thinking, this PrEP Act is a problem. Informed consent, though, is a separate thing, and they say that you can be guilty of just not providing informed consent. And I'm thinking,
none of them are providing. Nobody's providing informed consent. No, number one is there's no papers. They got a blank sheet in there. So how can you do informed consent if you don't know what's in the freaking thing?
Yeah, right.
Look, let me go. I got two more people. We're almost done. And so I'll look at whatever we'll bring up next week. Yeah. We've covered a lot of material here today.
Real simple and real fast.
Mm-hmm.
They said in April, the WHO and the CDC said that the COVID-19, they downgraded it to a flu. How can it be a pandemic? And how?
Well, it's not a pandemic, and they're scrambling to cover their butts right now. Okay.
So then you can't even do this emergency.
It's not going to happen. I'm telling you, it's game over already. It's
really?
Game over. They've lost already. It's like you said.
Okay. Where is the full Nick video? I would die. I would love to watch it.
The who?
You said that there was a. Reiner Fulmick.
Oh yeah, you know what? I wanted to play it tonight. I have it on my computer, but I don't. I got so many screens open, and it's loud.
Okay,
let me see if
Google David Martin.
Yeah, it's. Hang on here a minute. Let me see. And there's two different ones, and one's much easier to watch than the other one, because one's on Rumble and the other one's on. The BitChute is much nicer because you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a full screen, and you can stop it and start it, where if you go on some of those other alternative sites,
okay.
you have no control over it. Oh, did I? Hang on a minute. I might have. Hang on. I'm going to tell you in a minute here. I think it's still up here. Oh, maybe I lost it. Hang on. No, I don't see it here. I had it up because okay. I wanted to share a screen and play it tonight, and I didn't.
I could probably find it, but it's not too hard.
Just give me a minute.
As if you figure that's for their ammunition, I'm just looking for as much ammunition as I possibly can find. Because these people are criminals.
Absolutely. Hang on, just.
Apologies for taking all this money from the government. I just heard of another.
Oh, here it is. Money. It's on BitChute.
Okay.
It's on BitChute, and it's, what's the name here? Exposed. There's no variant, no novel, no pandemic. Dr. Martin with Reiner Fulmic.
Exposed, okay.
There is no variant.
David Martin is really
David
good.
Martin, he's amazing.
Oh,
amazing. Wow. He's got it all in his head. He doesn't even use notes. I really, really love him.
He's the antidote to people ruining definitions. He's got all these, you know, definitions in it. That's the way we communicate.
Look, they got teams of people that you can't even imagine. I mean, when you tell me that they're going to sue Sidney Powell, I laugh. It's like, yeah go ahead, make my day.
Yeah,
they're gonna look like such jerks.
Yeah, they don't have facts. They
got nothing but bullcrap. They're gonna tear them up in a court of law. Do you realize that? If they got to go through discovery, they're gonna lose.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I said to my son, I said, can you imagine the president of your college in a courtroom? I mean, they won't discuss anything. I think they've been gone to these classes where they say, don't talk about this because we can't support any of it.
They're also scared. But look, let me go. I got two more people. I want to try to get them in case.
All right.
I got,
thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thank you.
Got Bonnie Porter. I don't know from where, but go ahead. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello. Yes.
Yes, down here in Georgia.
Hey, what's going on?
I was thinking about a couple of fellas talking about putting a sign up in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about putting up a big sign that says "No Invasion." You know, use the language of the Constitution. You know, invasion is an act of violence. When these people,
well, that's what the last caller was saying. That just the fact that you're going out there and doing that is a crime.
Oh, really?
When you announce it, then you're doing mental anguish, and you're doing, it's an attack. It's an attack.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. You talk about the sign will be an attack on them.
No, no, no. I'm saying that they are doing an attack on you by going door to door, especially with this experimental thing and that.
It's an act of war is what it is.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes, sir. I also wanted to ask you if you had any material that, you know, like something on the website or something that talking about the Magna Carta. I've been wanting to try to read some of the articles.
I think we have the Magna Carta on the site, but I couldn't tell you offhand where it is, but I'm sure that we have it. I'm trying to think now.
I've been building the case. I've been building my claim. I got a claim. I got done pretty bad with some polling.
And I like the Magna Carta. It's very powerful. And somebody used it recently, and it was very pertinent in a modern case here. So
yes. Well, I'm building.
Look at it's the case. Basis of our Constitution and our government comes from the Magna Carta.
Yep, that and Northwestern Ordinance and Constitution.
It's under education. Right. It's under education tab, founding documents. Thank you, Ron.
Okay, right on. I'm gonna check that out as soon as I get off home. Education and founding documents.
That's why I'm in a hurry to get you guys in here, because maybe I can help you find this out in the last minute here.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, I wanted to call and ask you about that, if y'all had that. So I appreciate you taking the call.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to take the last person. We're almost on time. We're just a little bit over. That's pretty good. Ross from Oregon. Go ahead.
I got a email from Oregon Citizen Lobby, and they mentioned my state just passed a repeal resolution to repeal the Second Amendment.
They're going to repair the Second Amendment?
Repeal the Second Amendment.
They can't repeal the Second Amendment. Impossible.
The only way that you
have to amend the Constitution, and you can't amend the Constitution to give less rights. First of all, you can only give more rights. There are certain fundamental principles. They cannot. That's like saying, we're going to say murder's okay. All right, look, we got a government that comes from the laws of nature, and nature's God. And the Second Amendment is part of a right from God to defend ourselves. You can't repeal it. It's bullcrap, okay? It doesn't make sense. And not only that, I got a gun on my side here that says you can't do that to me. How do you like them, Alan? Them crackers.
Yeah, because our state's legislature is really controlled by liberals.
Yeah, well, look, liars can figure, but figures don't lie. They're not going to, I don't believe anybody's going to be able to repeal the Second Amendment, because if they do, they have to go pick the guns up, and then what happens is the guns come out lead first. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think the Second Amendment, only amendments can be... I think need to repeal is the 17th Amendment and the 16th Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Yeah, I don't know specifically, but I just know that you cannot repeal an unalienable right. You can't take something that was legal and make it unlawful. What do they call that? Is it ex post facto or something? You can't turn something into a crime that was a right. You can't take a right and convert it into a privilege or whatever. But they cannot repeal the First Amendment or the Second Amendment or any of the amendments as far as that goes.
They can't appeal the original 10 amendments.
Right, because that was the Constitution.
Yes. They can repeal the ones underneath that one.
Well, some of them need to be repealed. But we won't go there. But some of the ones, I think it was, what's the one that took away our senators was the 17th Amendment, I think.
Yes, that's the
right.
one.
So we know about that.
And the 16th Amendment is about the taxes and all that stuff.
Right, but... Let me tell you something. They were pretty slick with the taxes, because the 16th Amendment didn't grant any new powers, and the Supreme Court actually said that. They had to make it constitutional, so that's why the IRS gets away with saying, well, you know, it's voluntary, because it is. Because you give them your information, and you volunteer in. It's like joining the service. You can lose rights by signing them away. You know, by like when you go and conscript yourself in the service, you don't have the right to free travel. Now you're under the auspices of that particular thing for however many years you signed up for.
Oh, you mean like another jurisdiction or some amount of years?
Yeah, in other words, the military actually does take over, summon your inalienable rights by telling you where to go and what to do. You give that up when you sign up and you take that oath to fight. You're now under the control of your commanding officer. So you don't have the same. In other words, I have more rights than you do in a certain sense because you're controlled by that military sergeant, general, whoever's over you. Did not take an oath into the. I am not conscripted in the military. It does not affect me, but it could affect you. You know.
I think signing up for the in the way the U.S. military is controlled by the government itself.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you sign up for a government military, you're giving up your rights to the government itself.
Right. I don't know how that enters into it, but you're probably right. I don't know. I just know that you can.
Because Congress is.
And I don't know. I don't know if it has to be the government. You can constrict yourself into lots of things. If there's a meeting of the minds and you sign a contract, look at Lucifer can sit down. You can sell your soul to him if you want. You know what I mean? And if it's done right and there's a meeting of the minds, it's a contract. It's enforceable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the contract.
And right.
The Constitution is the contract.
Right. Under the Constitution, our rights to contract with each other is unlimited. Government can't get in the way of that, even though they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, all these unconstitutional laws, statutory laws they put in place.
But I wouldn't worry too much about them repealing the Second Amendment. That's a bunch of baloney. Just like they're going to require you to take an experimental shot and they're not going to be liable and all those other fairy tale stuff that they come up with. Look, we're gonna lose 2 or 3 billion people next year. What condition do you think their families are gonna be in? They're gonna be looking for blood. They're not gonna be able to do anything. And then everybody's gonna lose their faith in, you know, this blind faith that we have in our government is gone. It's gonna be gone.
Yes, I think. My mom took the vaccine, both 2 doses of it.
Yeah. Did she get sick?
No.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't get sick. But, you know, just because you don't get sick doesn't mean anything. As a matter of fact,
it's the RNA.
I understand, but, you know, that just means that she didn't get, in other words, she wasn't sensitive to some of the other stuff that was in there. The RNA is going to come in and do its work when it makes the spike protein, and then when the wild virus comes back in, you get a cytostorm. But I lost my train of thought there. Anyway, what I was going to say is you don't have to get sick. A lot of people don't get sick, but the problem is once you start making that spike protein and then you come into contact with the wild virus, that's when your troubles start. So,
You mean basically the natural
virus. Yeah, or the natural virus, but there's another insidious thing going on. This spike protein is a mutation of the coronavirus because it was done through it's a gene therapy and what it is it's a completely different substance, and it's even shedding to people that didn't take the vaccine and they're getting sick and they're getting blood clots. So I mean, like I said earlier, there's gyms that are saying if you took the vaccine you're not allowed in here because the vaccinated people, and you can't even call it shedding because shedding is something that a real vaccine does. This is not shedding. This is that spike protein leaving the body and going into somebody else and making them ill because that spike protein causes blood clots and this and that and the other thing. But that mRNA shot offers you no immunity to anything. It is not a vaccine, and they don't even say that it's going to keep you from getting it. It says your symptoms will be lower. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I took homeopathy for years, and one of the things in homeopathy is just because somebody's eliciting no symptoms, the sickest people in society don't elicit symptoms because their immune system is too weak. So they'll come into contact with a pathogen, and their body will not mount an immune response. So just because they don't have immune response doesn't mean they're healthy. It could mean that that thing is in there eating them up, and then what happens is they have no symptoms, no systems, and then all of a sudden they get a big cytostorm and they drop dead in 24 hours. So, So I'm just warning you that, you know, when you get an older person and they're, you know, look at our immune systems as we get older, are not up to snuff as they were when we were younger, and that's why it's very important to take vitamin D3 and all this other stuff, which your mother can do right now to keep her immune system up so that when that wild virus comes back in, if she has those things in her system, maybe it won't elicit the spike protein. It won't turn it on, is what I'm saying, because if she's got all the
or it keeps it off.
Right, the innate immune system might attack it before it gets to the point that spike protein sees it. And apparently there is some validity to that with the acetic acid and ischemic acid, rather, whatever you call it, and the ivermectin. She should be on the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine. You can take them prophylactically, and if you go to the Frontline Doctor's website, and there's a couple other good articles, they give you the dosages, the prophylactic dosages. If you don't have symptoms, you take it this way. If you have symptoms, then you take it that way. And that information is online, and maybe we should put something on the site for people, because as far as I'm concerned, this is life-saving information that the average person should have. You know?
Yeah.
So that was good. I think we covered the whole gamut of everything tonight. Everything from coughs and colds and rotten government officials and anything else you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a good show. Thanks for your question. That was very good. It was very insightful. Okay?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Have a good night. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate it. Come back next week. And we